జయం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి విదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నెత్తిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందగోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శిల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపగోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swaminidhi Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. సంసార సాగరే ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహగృహీదాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాద్ శ్రీమల్ భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవహి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫల సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యదా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాదస్తుం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమన తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదితరదస్ చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాణ్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయా తేజో వారిమృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం అవత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తల్క్షణాల్ నిగమకల్పనరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుదం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసిగా భువి భావుకాహం సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైవాయనో విరహకాదరమాజుహావ పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిలం శృతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమతిదీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణ గుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేత్ కమనీయ కిశోర ముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణు కొనిదా దృదానేందోః Mama vaji vijrumbada murare madhurin kanikabi kabikabi Mama om vishupadaya krishna prasthaya bhutale shrimade Tiridanda swamini dinamine Namaste saraswati devi gauravani prajarine Nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya deshatarine Srimal Guru Charanaravindabhyam Nama Vande Nandam Vrajastrinam Padarenum Abhishnasha Yasam Harigadod Gidam Punadi Bhuvanatrayam Gopi Charanaravinda Paramanavi Nama Pidambaram Karavirajita Chakrashangam Kaumodagi Sarasijam Karuna Samudram Ratha Sahaya Madhi Sundara Mandahasam Vata Alaye Shamanisham Hrudi Bhavayami Komalam Kujayan Venum Shyamaloyam Kumaraka Veda Vedya Param Brahma Bhasadam Puradomama Mugam Karodi Vajalam Pangam Lenghayade Girim Yalkrupatamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Krishnaya Nama Srimadir Adhigaye Nama Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sangirtanam Govinda Govinda Om Parthaya Pradibodhidam Bhagavadam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Kradidam Purana Munina Madhye Mahabharatam Advaidamrdavarshini Bhagavadi Ashtadashadhyayini Ambatva Manusandadami Bhagavadide Bhavadveshini Namostu Devyasa Vishala Buddhe Fullaravindaya Dapatranetra Yenatvaya Bharatataila Purna Prajwalido Yanamaya Pradipa Prapanna Parijadaya Totrave Traiga Barnaye, Yana Mudraya Krishnaya, Gidam Radaduhe Nama, Sarva Upanishadogavo, Dogda Govalanandana, Partho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham, Gidam Ratam Mahad, Vasudeva Sudam Devam, Kamsa Chanura Mardanam, Devagi Paramanandam, Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum, Bhishma Drona Dada Jayadrata Jala Gandhara Nilolpala Shalya Grahavati Krupena Vahani Karnena Vela Kula Ashwathama Vigarna Ghora Magara Duryodhana Vartini Sotirna Khalu Pandavairana Nadi Kaivartaka Keshava Sharya Vajasarojamamalam Gidartha Gandholkanam Nana Akhyanaka Kesaram Harikatha Sambhodhana Bodhidam Lokai Sajjana Shalpadaira Harahappe Biyamanam Muda Huyad Bharata Pangaja Kalimala Pradhum Sinashreyase Mogam Karodi Vajalam Pangam Lengayade Girim Yalkrupatamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Yam Brahma Varunindra Rudra Marudastvan Vandi Divyaistavair Vedair Sangabadair Kramaupanishadair Gayandiyam Samagaham Dhyana Vastita Dadgadena Manasa Pashyandiyam Yogino Yasyandam Navidusura Suraganai Devaya Tasmai Nama Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sangirtanam Govinda Govinda in the Ekadasha Skandam. Now, there are four chapters left, 28, 29, 30 and 31. So, I'll just read these two chapters first, and then go back to the topic.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Ashtavimshaditamodhyayam Shri Bhagavanu Vajam Parasvabhava Karmani Na Prashamsen Na Garhayet Vishwamekalpakam Pashyan Prakritya Purushenacha Parasvabhava Karmani Ya Prashamsati Nindadi Sa Ashubrashade Swarthal Asatyam Abhiniveshadam Taijase Nidraya Banne Pindastho Nashta Chetana Mayam Prapnodi Murtimva Tadvannanartha Drakpuman Kimbadram Kimabadramva Dvaida Savastuna Kiel Vajoditam Tadanurdam Manasadhyadam Evacha Chaya Pratyahvaya Abhasa Asando Pyarthakarina Evam Dehadayo Bhava Yachandyamrutido Bhayam Alpaivatadidam Vishwam Srijade Srijadi Prabhu Trayade Tradi Vishwalpa Kriyade Haradishwara Tasman Nahyalpanyasmal Anyobhava Nirubida Nirubideyam Truvida Namulam Padir Alpani Idam Gunayam Vidhi Truvidam Mahayakradam Edad Vidwan Madudidam Yana Vidyana Naibanam Nadinadi Najastaudi Loge Charadi Suryavan Pratyakshena Anumani Anumanina Nagamina Atmasam Vida Adyandavanda Satyatva Nisango Vijarediha Uddhava Vajam Naivalpano Nadehasya Samsaradr Drashto Drishayoho Analpa Swadashorisha Asyas Kasyasyadu Balabhyade Alpa Avyayo Aguna Shuddha Swayam Jodi Anavruda Agni Vaddari Vadajit Deha Kamseha Samsrudi Shri Bhagavanu Vaja Yavaddehendriya Pranai Atmana Sannigarshanam Samsara Balavam Savad Abartopya Vivegina Artehi Avidyamanevi Samsradirna Nivartade Dhyayado Vishayanasya Swapne Anarthagamo Yatha Yadahya Pradibuddhasya Praswabho Bahvanarthabral Sa Eva Pradibuddhasya Navai Mohaya Kalpade Shokam Harsham Bhayam Krotham Lobham Mohas Prahadaya Ahangarasya Drishyande Janma Mrityushan Alpana Dehendriya Pranavano Bhimana Jeevandana Alma Gunakarma Murti Sutram Mahani Tirudheva Gita Samsara Madhavadi Kalatandra Amula Medal Bahuru Berubidam Manovaja Prana Shari Rakarmam Yanasino Basanaya Shirena Nitua Bunirgam Vijaratya Trishnaham Yanam Vivigo Nigamastapascha Pratyacham Aidihyam Adhanumanam Adyandayora Sayadeva Kevalam Kalascha Hedusha Tadeva Madhim Yatha Hiranyam Sukhrutam Purastad Paschascha Sarvasya Hiranmayasya Tadeva Madhyeva Vahayamanam Nanavadesha Hirahamasya Tadval Vijnana Medal Triya Vastavangam Gunatrayam Karanakaryakartram Samanvayena Vidre Katascha Yena Iva Duryena Deva Satyam Nayal Purastadu Dayanna Paschal Madhyeja Dannavyapadesha Matram Bhutam Prasiddham Chaparena Yadyal Tadeva Datsyadidime Manisha Avidyamano bi avabhasade yo vaigariko rajasasargamesha Brahma swayam jodirato vibhadi Brahmendra arthalpa vikara chitram Evam spunam brahma viveka hetu bi parabhavadena visharadena Chitvalpa sandeham upaharameda swananda dushto khila kamukebhya Alpa avava parthyam indriyani deva asurvayu jalam hutasha Manunna matram dushanaja sattvam aham kradikham shidirartha samyam Samahideika karaner guna alma virgano bhavelma suvivikta dhamna Vichipyamane irudakim nadushanam khane irupeder vigadeir avekim Yatha nabhavayu analam bhugunai Gadagadeir vartuguneir nasajjade Tathaksharam satrajastamomalai Ahamade samsrudhi hedupiparam Tadhabi Sangha Parivarjani Yokune Shumaya Rishde Shudaval Malbhakti Yogena Tredena Yaval Rajo Nirasyeta Manakashaya Yadhamayo Sadhu Chigil Sido Nranam Puna Puna Santuta Di Prarohan Evam Mano Pakko Kashaya Dharmam Kuyogena Vidhidi Sarva Sangam Kuyogino Ye Vihidandaraye Manushya Bude Tridishova Srishtai തേ പ്രാക്തനാഭ്യാസബലേന ഭൂയോ യുഞ്ചന്തി യോഗം നദു കർമ്മതന്ത്രം കരോതി കർമ്മ ക്രിയതേ ജന്തു കേനാപ്യസോ ചോദിതമാനി ബാധാൽ ന തത്ര വിദ്വാൻ പ്രദോ സ്ഥിതോപി നിവൃത്തതൃഷ്ണസ്വ സുഖാനുഭൂത്യാം തിഷ്ടന്തമാസീനമുദവ്രജന്തം ശയാനമുക്ഷന്തമദന്തമന്നം സ്വഭാവമന്യൽ കിമപീഹമാനം ആത്മാനം ആത്മസ്തകതിർന്ന വേദ യതി സ്മശ്യത്തസതീന്ദ്രിയാർത്ഥം നാനാനുമാനേന വിരുദ്ധമന്യൽ ന മന്യദേവ സ്തുതയാ മനീഷി സ്വപ്നം യഥോത്ഥായ തിരോധാനം പൂർവം ഗൃഹീതം ഗുണകർമ്മചിത്രം അജ്ഞാനമാത്മന്യവിവിത്തമംഗം നിർവർത്തതേതത് പുനരീക്ഷയൈവ ന ഗൃഹ്യതേ നാപി വിസൃജ്യമാത്മാ യഥാ ഹി ഭാനോരുദയോ നൃചക്ഷുഷാം തമോ നിഹന്യാ നതു സംധിതത്തെ ഏവം സമീക്ഷാ നിപുണാ സരീമേ അന്യാത്തമിശ്രം പുരുഷസ്യ ബുദ്ധേ ഏഷ സ്വയം ജ്യോതിരജോ പ്രമേയോ മഹാനുഭൂതി സകലാനുഭൂതി ഏകോദ്വിതീയോ വചസാം വിരാമേ യേനേഷിതാ വാഗസവശ്ചരന്തി ഏതാവാൽപ്പസമ്മോഹോ യദ്വികൽപ്പസ്തു കേവലേ ആത്മനുദേശമാത്മാനം അവലംബോ നയസ്യ ഹി എന്നാമാകൃതി വിർഗ്രാഹ്യം മഞ്ചവർണമഭാദിതം വ്യർത്ഥേന പ്യർത്ഥവാദോയം ദ്വയം പണ്ഡിതമാനിനാം യോഗിനോ അപക്വയോഗ സയുഞ്ചിതക്കായ മുദ്ധിതൈ ഉപസർഗൈ വിഹന്യത തത്രായം വിഹിതോ വിധീ യോഗധാരണയാ കാശ്ചിൽ ദാസേർധാരണാന്യുതൈ തപോമന്ത്ര ഔഷധൈ കാംശ്ചിൽ ഉപസർഗാന്മീർദഹേ കാംശ്ചിൻ മമാനുധ്യാനേന നാമസങ്കീർത്തനാധിപി യോഗേശ്വര അനുവൃത്യാവാ ഹന്യ അശുപദാനശനൈ കേചിൽ ദേഹമിമം ധീരാ സുകൽപ്പം വയസ്സി സ്ഥിരം വിധായ വിവിധോഭായ യഥയുഞ്ചന്തി സിദ്ധയെ നഹി കുശലാദൃത്യം തദായാസോ ഹ്യപാർത്ഥക അന്ധവത്വാൽ ശരീരസ്യ ഫലസ്യേവ വനസ്പതേ യോഗം നിഷേവതോ നിത്യം കായശ്ചേത് കൽപദാമിയാൽ തശ്രദ്ധദാനമതിമാൻ യോഗമുത്സൃജവൽപര യോഗയരിയാമിമം യോഗി വിചരൻ മതവാശ്രയ അന്തരായർ വിഹന്യതേ വിഹന്യത നിസ്പൃഹസ്വ സുഖാനുഭൂൽ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പരമംസംസ്മിതായാം ഏകാദശ സ്കന്ദേ അഷ്ടാവിംശതിതമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഏകോനത്രിംശത്തമോധ്യായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവദേവ വാസുദേവായ ഉദ്ധവോവാചാം സുദുശ്ചരാമിമം മന്യേ യോഗചര്യാമനാത്മന യഞ്ജസാ പ്രമാൻ സിദ്ധിയേൽ തന്മേ ബ്രൂഹ്യഞ്ജസ അച്യുത പ്രായശ പുണ്ഡരീകാക്ഷ യുഞ്ചന്തോ യോഗിനോ മന വിഷിതന്ത്യ സമാധാനം മനോ നിഗ്രഹകർഷിത അധാതമാനന്ദ ദുഃഖം പദാംബുജം ഹംസാശ്രയേരന്നരവിന്ദലോചന സുഖം ന വിശേശ്വര യോഗകർമ്മഭിൽ തന്മായയാമീ വിഹതാത്മാനിനാം കിം ചിത്രമച്യുത തവൈദ തവൈദശേഷബന്ധോ ദാസേഷു അനന്യശരണേഷു യഥാത്മസത്വം യോ രോചയൽ സഹമൃഗൈ സ്വയമീശ്വരാണാം ശ്രീമൽ കിരീട തടപീഡിത പാദപീഠാം ത്വം ത്വകിലാത്മാദേശ്വരമാശ്രിതാനാം സർവാർത്ഥതം സുഹൃത വിസൃതേ കോ വിസൃജേത കോനു കോ വാ ഭജേത് കിമപി വിസ്മൃതയേ അനുഭൂത്തേ കിം വാ ഭവേന തവ പാദരജോജുഷാം നൈവോപയന്ത പചതിം കവയസ്തവേശ ബ്രഹ്മായുഷാഭി കൃതമുദ്ധമുദസ്സരന്ത വൃദ്ധമുദസ്മരന്ത യോ അന്തർബഹിസ്തനുഭൃതാമശുഭം വിധുന്ന ആചാര്യ ചൈത്യവപുഷാം സുഗതിം വിനക്തി ശ്രീശുകവാചാം ഇത്യുദ്ധാവനീത്യനിയുക്തചേതസ പൃഷ്ടോ ജഗൽ ക്രീഡനക സ്വശക്തിഭി ഗൃഹീതമൂർത്തിത്രയം ഈശ്വരേശ്വരോ ജഗാദസ പ്രേമ മനോഹരസ്മിത ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാചാം ഹന്തതേ കഥയിഷ്യാമി മമ ധർമാൻ സുമംഗളാൻ യാൻ ശ്രദ്ധയാചൻ മർത്യോ മൃത്യും ചേതി ദുർജയം കുര്യാൽ സർവാണി കർമാണി മദർത്ഥം ശനകൈ സ്മരൻ മയ്യർപ്പിത മനശ്ചിത്തോ മദ്ധർമാത്മനോരഥി ദേശാൻ പുണ്യാനാശ്രയേത മൽഭക്തൈ സാധുഭിശ്രിതാൻ ദേവാസുരമനുഷ്യേഷോ മൽഭക്ത ചരിതാനി ച പൃഥക് സത്രേണ വാമഹ്യം പർവയാത്രാ മഹോത്സവാൻ കാരേ ഗീതനൃത്യാദ്യർ മഹാരാജ വിഭൂതിഭി മാമേവ സർവഭൂതേഷു ബഹിരന്തമപാവൃതം ഈക്ഷേദാത്മനിജാൽപാനം യഥാഖം അമലാശയാം ഇതി സർവാണി ഭൂതാനി മദ്ഭവായി മദ്ഭാവേന മഹാദ്യുതേ സഭാചയന്മന്യമാനോ ജ്ഞാനം കേവലമാശ്രിതാഃ ബ്രാഹ്മണേ പുൽക്കസേ സേനേ ബ്രഹ്മണ്യേ അർക്കേ സ്ഫുലിംഗേ അക്രൂരേ ക്രൂരകേ ചൈവ സമദ പണ്ഡിതോമദ നരേഷു വിഷ്ണു മൽഭാവം പുംസോ ഭാവയന്തോ ചിരാൽ സ്പർദ്ധ അസൂയ തിരസ്കാര സഹങ്കാര വിയന്തിഹി വിസൃജ്യ സ്മയമാനൻ സ്വന്തൃശം വ്രീഡാഞ്ജദേഹിയും പ്രണമേദണ്ഡവത് ഭൂമാവു അശ്വചാണ്ടാളഘോകരം യാവൽ സർവേഷു ഭൂതേഷു മൽഭാവോ നോപജായതേ താവദേവോപാസീതം വാങ്മനക്കായ വൃത്തിഭീം സർവം ബ്രഹ്മാത്മകം തസ്യ വിദ്യ ആത്മമനീഷയ പരിവശുന്നു പരമേൻ സർവതോ മുക്ത സംശയ അയം ഹി സർവകൽപാനാം സദ്രീചീനോ മതോ മമ മത്ഭാവ സർവഭൂതേഷു അനോവാക്കായ പൃഥിവീ മഹ്യം ഗോപക്രമേധ്വം സോധർമ്മധർമ്മോദ്ധവാനു അവി മയാ വ്യവസിത സമ്യം നിർഗുണത്വാദനാശിഷാം യോ യോ മൈ പരേ ധർമ്മ കൽപ്പതി നിഷ്ഫലായ ചേൽ തദായാസോ നിരവത്തസ്യാൽ ഭയാദേവ സതമാം ഏഷാ ബുദ്ധിമതാം ബുദ്ധിർമനീഷാ ച മനീഷിണാം യൽ സത്യമൃതേ നേഹ മർത്യേന അമ്നോതിമാമൃതം ഏഷ ദേവിഹിത കൃഷ്ണോ ബ്രഹ്മവാദസ്യ സംഗ്രഹ സമാസവ്യാസവിധിനാ ദേവാനാം അഭിദുർഗമ അഭീഷ്ണ ശസ്ത്രീകൃതം ജ്ഞാനം വിസ്പൃഷ്ടയുക്തിമത് ഏതദ് വിജ്ഞായമുച്ചേത പുരുഷോ നഷ്ടസംശയാം സുവിക്തം തവ പ്രശ്നം മയേതദിതാരയേൽ സനാതനം ബ്രഹ്മഗുഹ്യം പരം ബ്രഹ്മാധിഗതി ത ഏതൻ മമ ഭക്തേഷു സമ്പ്രദദ്യാ സുപുഷ്കലം തസ്യാഹം ബ്രഹ്മദായസ്യ ദദാമി ആത്മാനമാത്മന സ ഏതൻ സമതീത പവിത്രം പരമം ശുചി സ പൂയേത് അഹരഹർമാം ജ്ഞാനദീപേന ദർശയൻ ഏത ശ്രുതയാ നിത്യം അവ്യഗ്രശൃണുയാന്നര മൈ ഭക്തിം പരാം കുർവൻ കർമ്മഭിർനസപദ്യതയും അഭ്യുദ്ധവത്വയ ബ്രഹ്മസഖേ സമവധാരിതം അഭിദേവികതോ മോഹ ശോകശ്ചാസോ മനോഭവാം നൈതത്വയ ദാംഭികായ നാസ്തികായ ഷഠായ ച അശുശ്രൂഷോരഭക്തായ ദുർവിനീതായ ദീയതാം ഏതൈർദോഷൈർവിഹീനായ ബ്രഹ്മന്യായ പ്രിയായ ച സാധവേഷു ജയേ ഭൂയാ ബ്രൂയാ ഭക്തിസ്യാ ശൂദ്രയോഷിതാം നൈതദ്വിജ്ഞായ ജിജ്ഞാസോർ ജ്ഞാതവ്യം ശിഷ്യതേ പീത്വാ പീയൂഷമൂർദ്ധം പാദവ്യം നാവശിഷ്യതേ ജ്ഞാനേ കർമ്മണി യോഗേ ച വാർത്തായം ദണ്ഡധാരണേ യാവാനർത്ഥോ നൃണാം താതാ താവാം സ്നേഹം ച ദുർവിധാം മർത്യോ യഥാ അത്യക്ത സമസ്ത കർമാം നിവേദിതാത്മാ വിചികീർഷിതോ മേ തഥാ അമൃതത്വം പ്രതിപദ്യമാനോ മയാത്മഭൂയായ ച കൽപദേവൈ ശ്രീശുക ഉവാചാം സ ഏവ മാർഗദർശന യോഗമാർഗം തദുത്തമ ശ്ലോകം ഉത്തോത്തമ ശ്ലോകവശോ നിശമ്യ ബദ്ധാഞ്ജലി പ്രീതിപരുദ്ധ കണ്ടോ കഥകിഞ്ചിത് ഉപേശോ പരിപ്ലുദാക്ഷാം വിഷ്ടഭജിത്തം പ്രണയാവപൂർണം ധൈര്യേണ രാജൻ ബഹുമന്യമാനാം കൃതാഞ്ജലി പ്രാഹ ഇതി പ്രവീരം ശീർഷ്ണാസ്പൃശം തച്ചരണാരവിന്ദം ഉദ്ധവ ഉവാച വിദ്രോവിതോ വിദ്രാവിതോ മോഹ മഹാന്ധകാരോ യ ആശുതോമേ തവ സന്നിധാനാൽ വിഭാവസോ കിം നു സമീപഗാസ്യ ഗസ്യ ശീതം തമോഭി പ്രഭവന്തജാദ്യാം പ്രത്യർപ്പിതോ മേ ഭവതാനുകമ്പിനാം വൃത്യായ വിജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ ഹിത്വാ കൃതജ്ഞസ്തവപാദമൂലം കോന്യൽ സമീയ ചരണം ത്വദീയം വിഘ്നശ്ച മേ സുദൃഢസ്നേഹവാശോ ദാശാർഹവൃഷ്ണി അന്ധകസാത്വദേഷു പ്രസാരിത സൃഷ്ടിവിവൃദ്ധയേ ത്വയാ സുമായയാ ആൽപസുബോധഹേതിനാം നമോസ്തു തേ മഹായോഗിൻ പ്രപന്നമനുഷാധിമാം യഥാ ത്വച്ചരണാം ഭോജേർ ഗച്ഛോദ്ധവാമയാദിഷ്ടോ ബദരിയാഖ്യം മമാശ്രമം തൽത്രമൽപാദതീർത്ഥോദേ സ്നാനോപസ്പർശനേശുചി ഈക്ഷയാളകനന്ദായാം വിദുദാശേഷകൽമഷ വസാനോ വൽക്കലാഞ്ഞംഗമന്യഭുക്സുഖനസ്പൃഹ തിദുക്ഷോദ്വന്ദ്വമാത്രാണാം സുശീലസംയതേന്ദ്രിയ ശാന്തസമാഹിതദിയ ജ്ഞാനവിജ്ഞാനസംയുത മത്തോ നിശിക്ഷണം യദ്ദേവിത്തമനുഭാവയൻ മയ്യാവേശിതവാക്ചിത്തോ മദ്ധർമ്മനിരതോ ഭവാം അതിവ്രജഗതിസ്ഥീസ്രോ പാമേഷ്യസി തദപരം ശ്രീശുകോവാചാം സ ഏവമുക്തോ ഹരിമേധസോദ്ധവ പ്രദക്ഷിണന്തം പരിസൃത്യ പാദയോ ശിരോനിധായ അശ്രുകലാഭിരാർദ്രതി നിഷിഞ്ചദ്വന്ദ്വപരോപ്യപക്രമേ സുദുസ്യജസ്നേഹവിയോഗകാതരം നശക്നുവംസ്തം പരിഹാതുമാതുരാം കൃച്ഛം യയോ മൂർധനി പർത്തൃപാദകേ ബിഭ്രം നമസ്കൃത്യയോ പുനഃ പുനഃ തദസ്തമന്തർഹൃതി സന്നിവേശ്യ ഗതോ മഹാഭാഗവതോ വിശാലം യഥോപദിഷ്ടം ജഗദേക ബന്ധുനാം തപസ്സമാസ്ഥായ ഹരേരഗാദ്ഗതിം യ ഏതദാനന്ദസമുദ്രസംഭൃതം ജ്ഞാനാമൃതം ഭാഗവതായ ഭാഷിതം കൃച്ഛ്രേണ യോഗേശ്വര സേവിതാം ഘൃണ സശ്രദ്ധയാ സേവ്യാം ജഗദ്വിമുച്യതേം ഭാവഭയമവഹന്തം ജ്ഞാനവിജ്ഞാനസാരം നിഗമകൃതിപജഹ്രേ ഭൃംഗവൽവേദസാരം അമൃതമുതദതിശ്ചാപായയൽ ഭൃത്യവർഗാൻ പുരുഷഹൃഷഭമാദ്യം കൃഷ്ണസംജ്ഞം നതോസ്മി ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പരമഹംസ്യം സംഹിതായാം ഏകാദശ സ്കന്ധേ ഏകോന ത്രിംശത്തമോ അധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ.
We saw Sunday, last Sunday, Uddhava having a conversation with Krishna. Uddhava brought up some issues. Krishna is saying, Artehi avidyamani. The verse is coming again in this chapter, you can see that. The same verse which was spoken before, in the verse before the Bhagavad-gita, where Krishna said that, Krishna repeats that verse again here. Atehi avidyamanevi samsrtir na nivartade dhyayado vishyanasya sopne anarthagamo yatha. You can understand that the while sleeping, you are dreaming. There is no sense objects there. Isn't it? There is no sense objects there. You are in the dream. But the miseries of that dream is there. That is a reality that you can't deny. You are suffering, aren't you? You are suffering from the dream, what you are going through. Even though the objects normally which causes the problem, they are not there in the dream. In vacant state, for example, a tiger or an elephant attacking you. There is tiger, there is elephant, and they are attacking you. And you can say that they are the objects which is causing the problem. Elephant and the tiger, for example. But the same fear, what happens inside when they attack you in the vacant state, happens in the dream state also, even though the tiger and the elephant is not there. That's Krishna's point. Artehi avidyamanevi samsartir na nivartate. So, because it is in the dream state, that does not mean that you are free from the problem. Problem is still existing. So from this study you can understand that the problem is not in the elephant or the tiger. Problem is inside the mind. Is it not? That's clear, isn't it? See, when you go into the dream state, you are experiencing fear. Tiger is attacking me. An elephant is attacking me. In reality, there is no elephant or tiger there. But it is attacking you. And it is able to create the same experience of fear inside you as though in the vacant stages you are getting attacked by a tiger or an elephant. It is from this example that they are telling us, rishis are telling us, that actual problem is not in the sense objects. Actual problem is inside the mind. Everything. Problem is inside the mind, not outside. Although we will blame generally for everything outside, isn't it? Outside objects are causing problem for us, we say. Actually, outside problems, objects are not causing any problem. Problem is happening inside our mind. Atehi avidyamanevi samsrtirna nivartate. Dhyayato vishayanasya swapne anarthagamo yada. In that dhyanam, in the meditation, in the dream, anarthagamo yada. Anartham is also experienced there. It is a little, you got to think logically, only then you will accept this. Otherwise it's difficult. Generally somebody attacks you, you feel immediately he is the cause of the problem. But actually where is the problem? Problem is inside the mind. The proof is, when you go into the dream state, those objects are not there which are attacking you, but you are suffering. So, all things that is happening is inside the mind only. It's not in the world. World is going on its own way. But the world is creating fear inside us. World is creating emotions inside us. World is creating happiness inside us. Fear inside us. And all other kinds of emotions. The world is creating inside us. We feel that the world is responsible for that. Actually the world is not. That is Krishna's point. World is going on its own way. But we have misunderstood that the problem, the whole problem we have got, this the world is the problem. Actually world is not the problem. Krishna's point is, you have a thing called the mind inside. It is that mind that is causing all the problems, isn't it? But then the question comes, is there a thing called the mind? Where is that? If it is there,
something, is there anything which is separate from the soul? Separate from the soul. In reality, nothing exists apart from the soul. The thing called mind, nobody has been able to find out or so far or identify where it is inside this body. We say mind, mind, mind. Where is that? It is nothing but there is nothing exists in this body apart from the soul. The soul is the one which is making all these different experiences inside, isn't it? And still, when you are living in this world, you feel a kind of perplexed state about everything. You are experiencing inside. It's called Brahmam. It is called Brahmam. And that Brahmam is called Maya. This is one way of explaining Maya. That if you ask the question, where is mind? No answer. Where is it? Nobody knows, isn't it? But as far as Shastram is saying to us that there is a, they keep on experimenting with the brain and heart and all that, and every day they will come out with some new idea. But they haven't got a clue where this thing called mind is. Nobody knows. But it is there. We all say, we treat people for mental disease, we have got loads of billions of pounds we're spending on the mental problems, isn't it, for the people. But the reality is like this, that Atma is inside. That Atma, except Atma is the only living force inside. There is nothing else. From the Atma, all these other forces are happening there. So, this Brahmam, that is the right word. I don't know what the English exact translation for that. Brahma means a kind of misunderstanding in us. A kind of, we are baffled or perplexed about this Brahman, isn't it? That is what Krishna is also saying there, that if you look into that verse, Pashya Vaikalpikam Brahman, it says. Alma agrahana nirbhadam pashya vaikalpikam brahmam. That is in the chapter verse. Yeah, 22:56. See that brahmam, what Krishna is referring to. It's an important verse. Unless we understand these verses, it's difficult to move into the next chapter. So he's saying there that if you ask the question, you are suffering with the mind in the waking state as well as in the dream state. In waking state in one way, in the dream state in another way. And the problems that's created in the waking state due to external objects, it can be anything, it can be a person, it can be animal, birds, whatever it may be, another external object that's creating the fear or an emotion inside. And when you go into the dream state, a similar experience you can have in the dream state, even though those external objects are not there, but you are suffering. Krishna is saying, this peculiarity of the waking state and the dream state is called Brahmam. It's called Brahmam. Brahmam is that you don't know how to explain that. We don't understand that, why it is happening like that. But Brahmam happens inside the mind. Inside the mind. And if you ask the question, where is the mind? No answer. This is how much we think we know about this body. That's what you have to understand. We think we know a lot about this body, don't we? We think like that. And we are so proud of our research and the knowledge what the science have got. But this is how much we know about it. Where is the mind? They haven't got a clue. where it is. There is no answer to that. So, at the same time, the effect in the mind is real. You are suffering, that's a proof. Suffering or sometimes happy also. Either way. Whether you are happy or whether you are suffering, it's there. That's real. That's experience, isn't it?
That's minimal. So, here, if you look at that verse, he's saying here,
Yad ambasa prachalada taravobi chalaiva chakshusha brahmamayana drishyade brahmadiva bhu. Just like, if you, there is a lake, and there's trees standing on the side of the lake. If the leaves move in the if the tree is standing there, but if the wind falls, you feel the tree is moving if you look into the water. All the tree is standing there still. Yadhambasa prachalata taravobi chalaiva chakshusha brahmyamanena. So you can see from that the eyes are also deceptive. They are deceptive. Eyes are not actually giving you any proper perception of the truth. It's only falsely giving you some understanding that, just like when we are, this, you see, this is the point. From the Vedic point of view, you are looking at objects through your eyes, right? And you are thinking, oh, I have seen something. What have we seen? These senses, are they really giving you a proper knowledge of the vastu, of the object? They are not. Chakshusha brahmamayana drishyadeva brahmadeva bhu. But that brahman created inside by the senses are transmitting to the mind and mind is reacting to that accordingly. Yatha manoratha diyo vishayanubhavo mrusha svapna drishta shadasharha tatha samsaram almana. Yatha manoratha diyo manoratham. It's a mental chariot, they call it. Vishayani bhavom rasha. All kinds of sensual experiences we have. Generally, our life in this world is nothing but sensual experience, isn't it? Constantly we are seeing, we are hearing, we are tasting, we are touching, we are smelling. This is what life is all about. One of these five things going on. Five senses are working all the time. That's why constantly engaging senses in its sense enjoyment is called life. There's nothing more to it than that. So Krishna is saying that yatha manoratha diyo vishayanubhavo mrusha svapna drishtascha dasharha tatha samsaram almana. This material existence, what we call it as life, is also an experience based on these sense enjoyment senses. And then he said that artehi avidyamanebi samsardirna nivartade dhyayado vishayanasya sopne anarthagamo yatha. Means that artehi avidyamanebi samsardirna nivartade, that this is called avidya inside, maya, avidya, all referring to the same thing. So artehi avidyamanebi, avidya is inside, and therefore even in the dream state, you are still experiencing the miseries of material existence. Samsara navartade. Dhyayado vishayanasya svapne anarthagamo yatha. And these things, what comes in the dream state, is nothing but what you have experienced in the vacant state. Sometime, may not be in this life, previous life, sometime before. So, that thing has gone inside. Somewhere, it is there inside. Somewhere. It is there. It's what we call as the subtle body. Dhyayado vishayanasya. And because you have meditated on that experience, what you had, dhyayado vishayanasya, and that will come in the sopnam, in the dream state, as a anartham. It will come in the dream state and it will give you that, repeat that same experience what you had sometime before, and that what we call it as dream. Dhyayado vishayanasya sopne anartha agamo yatha. In exactly the same way. So, after saying that, Krishna is saying, tasmad, therefore uthava, maam bukshva, vishayat asad indriyai, alma agrahana nurbhadam pasya vaigalpiyam brahmam. That is the important statement there. Krishna says, Uddhava, Alpa Agrahana Narbhadam. Why all these things are happening to us? This experience of the vacant state like this, experience of the dream state like this. This state itself is due to Alma Agrahana Nirbhadam. That it says to Uddhava, senses, the sense object, and the world outside, all these things, Alma Agrahana Nirbhadam, all these things, Pashya Vaigalpiyam Brahmam. What it is doing is that the object that is very close to you, you have ignored that. What is that? Krishna. Krishna is the thing what is closest to us than anything else. Not the sense objects, not the senses, not the world. None of them are near to us as close as Krishna is. Is it not? Antaryami is the closest to us. Because you have ignored this Antaryami, and you have gone and made contact with things which are far away from you, you are suffering because of that. That's the way Krishna puts it. Alma agrahana nirbhadam pashya vaigalpiyam brahmam. This brahmam, what you have spoken about, will always be there till you start recognizing who is closest to you, instead of recognizing all the other things in this world. People are worrying, example, I have a relation in Australia, for example. He or she is suffering there and I am suffering here, thinking about that. Is it not? The answer is this. You are not worrying about who is closest to you. You are worrying about something 10,000 miles away. This is the problem. Why? Why is that? This is called Brahma. This is called Brahma. Alma agrahana nirbhadam pashya vaigalpiyam brahmam. It's an amazing statement that is. Krishna's statement. That means you ignore this thing which is more important than anything else and closest to you, and instead you are giving importance to all the other rest of the things in this creation. Whose fault is then? Whose fault is that? You are giving importance to the world, the sense objects, and we are giving importance to all these kinds of things. Sense objects, all our happiness based on the house, family, and all other things. Little things. Just to show to us how ignorant we are. That's the important thing. How much avidya is inside us. Alma agrahana nirbhadam pashya vaigalpiyam brahmam. So, and what is speciality about this Alma? Alma is the one permanently with us. That's what we are, is it not? Always nitya shuddha buddha mukta swarupam. Always pure, always fully conscious, and always liberated state. And that is the nature of the Atma, who is present inside. And he is present as aparoksham. Aparoksham means that you can't locate it where it is, but you know it is there, is it not? Why? Your bodham is the proof for that. Our bodham. Our bodham is the proof of that, that awareness inside. That's what you are, isn't it? Which is in your experience 24 hours, whole year, whole life, never leaves you, that awareness. And even though it is being perceived and experienced whole life, you are not giving any attention to that. That is the point Krishna is saying here. And you are giving attention to everything else in this creation, in this world. And the difference is that all other things are not available all the time, but this thing is always available, ever available. And if we die, any of us die, then what is the difference between this body and my dead body? What is the difference? Difference is that in this body, I am experiencing the existence. In that body, when this is dead, I won't feel any existence in that body. Bodies lying there like the table and the mat or the camera, in the same way it will be lying there, another object, isn't it? So that difference is the Atma. That is the Atma. But no giving any attention to that. We are giving attention to the body a lot, is it not? All of us give as best as possible attention to this body. And we also give attention to our mind. We'll say, I got problems with my mind. We'll say like that. We also give attention to the world, what's happening in the world. Every hour, on the hour of the news. And all way coming into keep a notice of what's happening in the world, I should know. But I don't need to know about what's happening inside me. I'm not bothered about it, isn't it? So Krishna's point is that all of those things, that means the body, the mind, and the world, that what you get is problems. You'll only get problems from these places. From the body you'll get problems, and similarly from the world you will get problems, and also from your sense objects. So they call it as Vishamam and Samam. Vishamam and Samam. Vishamam means that state which is in the circumference. And in the center, when it is in the center, it is Samam. That means when your attention, this is the Vedantic terminology, that when your attention is in the circumference, the center is Atma. The circumference is the world, the body, the mind, and sense objects, everything. When the attention is in the circumference, which means body, mind, and world objects, it's called Vishamavastha. Vishama, unbalanced state. When your attention is in the center, which is at the soul, it is called Samavastha. If you leave the center and come to the circumference, it is distress. And nobody has solved this problem till now. As soon as you leave your identity, who you are, as soon as you ignore your actual identification with the soul, immediately you are in an unbalanced state. And that unbalanced state is what our life is. All the attention is given on the body, the mind, and the world. That means you have to accept the miseries coming from those three. The world, the mind, and the world. And nobody has till now solved this problem. Till you come, if you are in the world or in the body or in the mind, you are bound to have miseries of those three things. So, look at that Bhikshu Gita, what we have seen. That Bhikshu, at one time he was very wealthy, wasn't he? Very wealthy. And he was like that, and then he threw away everything and became a Bhikshu. So, so, from there you can understand, a materialist or one who is suffering in this world called samsari. Samsara means material existence. Samsari means one who is living in this material existence. When he is wealthy in this world, and if you ask the question, is he very happy in with that wealth, all that wealth? If you ask that question, the answer is no. He is not. Even though he had all the wealth with him, he was not able to feel happy even to a slightest extent, even to a little extent. And that you can observe in this world if you look at people. Loads of wealthy people in this world, only you have to get a little bit closer to them to know how unhappy they are inside. You won't know that from outside. You will think that they've got all this wealth, big houses, big properties and car and all kinds of things. And only thing is, you just have to go to get to know them a little bit closer. Only then you will see very clearly how unhappy they are inside. How unhappy they are inside. You won't know that. And that unhappiness inside is pouring out all the time in different forms. In different forms. And that is why in Bhikshu Gita that they call that kind of unhappiness. You have a lot of wealth. Lot of wealth. Billionaires or whatever you want to say. But it is called Yakshavittam. Yakshavittam. That means yakshas also, they accumulate a lot of wealth and they keep it in the caves in the huge mountains. Yakshas do that. And you will see the yaksha stories, all these kind of things. Sometimes you can see big ships. They wrecked, the ship became a wreck and gone underneath the ocean. And then, after many years, people realize that that ship had a lot of wealth in that. They go underneath looking for that wealth, like you can see the word Titanic and all that. They were trying to retrieve from that, whatever that was available, isn't it? So, if you know that there is wealth somewhere, you will go looking for it, even to the very deep sea, to get it out from there, somehow or the other, isn't it? But still, in spite of all the way they have acquired the wealth, they were not happy in life. There was no happiness inside. What that means is that, what Bhagavatam is saying to us is, earning wealth or making money is not a fault, or it's not a mistake either. It's not a mistake or a fault, or it's a crime. It's not a crime. But only thing you have to realize is that it will not make you happy. That's all you have to realize. It's not a crime that you are making money or acquiring wealth, but you won't have happiness inside just because you got a lot of money. Got a lot of money. There are many wealthy people in this world who have a lot of wealth but very unhappy inside. And there are many people in this world who have no wealth and they are happy inside. You can see this if you look at people in this world. You will observe this speciality. So some people, they have got wealth and they don't have happiness in life. And you can understand that happiness and the wealth, it has no connection. It has no, in reality there is no connection between the two. In your own mind you have developed, or all of us, we have developed this misunderstanding that if I have a lot of money I will be happy. That's the mind has created that misconception inside. And from that we are going on doing things, isn't it? So, Krishna is saying here that because of this, what happened? Because this misconception got into the head. So then what happened is that I made the wrong decision that the whole purpose of life is to make money. Because I misunderstood that if I have a lot of wealth, I'll be happy in my life. From that misconception, I started dealing with this world in such a way that I should try to make as much money as possible so that I will be happy later on. Isn't it? And there are many people who have worked in this world with this misconception in this world. There are many, many people. And there are still people who are doing this. Isn't it? And in this process what happened was, almost 3/4 of their life, or 75% to 80% of their life, has gone in that process of making money. After they have done all that, after making money, whatever they have made, they have realized that at the old age, that what they have acquired in this world
is not staying with them. It's going in one way or the other.
It's going in one way or the other.
So you have to look into the world and look at people outside, these wealthy people, and study their life. There are very interesting programs about them sometimes. But they won't tell you these things, what's going through. But if you study their programs well, you can see this, that how they have so much money that they just don't know what to do in life. So much crisis inside. So, and many, many people who have made wealth like this, sometimes due to some misfortune, whatever they have done in this process of making money, you will see they end up in the jail, in the prison, isn't it? And they have a lot of wealth, but they ended up in the jail. That's why Krishna has a way of dealing with this world. Sometimes he will put you in the very higher level, in a very high state. Next day he will make you wander in the street without a penny here. And that is under the control of time, kalam.
Kalam.
In the eyes of time, all of us are very insignificant. Very insignificant. You can see this when the time, in the course of time, or in the flow of time, what all happens in this world. Rich people become very poor. Very healthy people, they become very sick. Very healthy people become very, very sick. And they are suffering heavily with the illnesses in the body. From all these things, if you read and listen and think about all these things, what's going on, you can understand one thing, that by your own effort, by your cleverness, or by your effort alone, how long will it work? As long as it works, it will work. That's all. You can try your smart methods on cleverness and everything, and try to mold your way in a way you want to do it. How long will it work? As long as it works. That's all. As long as it works, it will work. Now, if it works, people will say, oh, you see, he has done very well in his life. Isn't it? That's how we say about that. He's done very well. He has acquired a lot of wealth in his life. He has acquired big name, fame in this world. And after some time, whole thing has gone. Wealth has gone, the name has gone, fame has gone, everything gone. Now, when you have acquired all these things, is there any happiness inside? There is no happiness inside also, when you have been acquiring all these things. Why is that? Reason, Krishna is coming to that in that 28th chapter. He's saying, there is no greater misery in this world than your own false ego. False ego is the greatest distress in life. Greatest distress in life. That is Krishna's point. Greatest distress in this life is our false ego. Our false ego. Sometimes people will ask this question. They say, pointing out at somebody else, see, look at these people. They give so much trouble to others. So much trouble to others through their ahankarma, through their false ego, or through their activities. And they give, disturb and destroy so many others in this world. Is it not? You can see that happening in several places, in everywhere it is there. It's no place, it's free from that. People give us a lot of trouble. And then they say, in spite of all these trouble they give it to others, they seem to be happy. They look happy that they have done well and they feel extremely satisfied with what they are doing, even though they are giving a lot of trouble to others. And they say, how come they are so happy in this way? The answer to that question is, You are telling me that they are happy, isn't it? But there is no bigger hell in this world to be like that, because their ego becomes so strong. Ahankaram is so strong. Ahankaram is so strong that there is no other greater misery in this world than living in this world with such a degree of ego. So what you have to remember here is, when these people were giving trouble to others, when I say trouble to others, it means, say for example, there is a lot of, directly and indirectly they give trouble to others, isn't it? For example, politicians, in their administration and running the government, they give a lot of trouble to the people, ordinary people. They have to accept the misery that is imposed upon them by their decisions, by the government. They make such decisions whereby what they call as the establishment. For the sustaining the establishment, they sacrifice human beings in that process, in many ways. So, institutional punishment or institutional troubles they create by people who have made such decisions from the government and similarly from big corporations, big banks, and all kinds of things which you have to, in Vyavaharam, you have to deal with all kinds of people. So in Vyavaharam, you see often you getting cheated, you getting misled, or in so many ways people are making decisions and giving trouble to others. But what we have to understand here is that when they make these decisions, fully knowing that they are causing problems to others, in a very subtle level, Krishna's point is, that person who made that decision, knowing well that it is disturbing others in this world, they are the one actually he is getting into problems. And that is the reason why when such people in high positions and who make such important decisions in this world, when it is externally giving trouble to others, internally they suffer more. That we don't know that. Internally they suffer more. We don't know that. What's going on there? Because what's happening is, when he has made a decision like that, through that decision, when he has troubled a lot of people, inside him, that samskaram will grow. Do you understand that? That samskaram of exploiting, cheating, and giving trouble to others due to the decisions he has made, no doubt it will give trouble to so many other people in so many ways. But because he made that decision will cause inside him a serious problem, who made that decision. And that this is a kind of samskaram, that is a vasana, it is inside. And that vasana will start growing inside him again and again. It will get stronger that way. So, and he may have to live longer in this world because this vasana is demanding that it needs to go, but it cannot go. It is already developing such a strong samskaram inside. That samskaram will extend his life in this world. So, for example, if you look at a person from the external side, from material side, that he has got the latest model of the car, big house, and he has plenty of wealth, all these things he has got. And we say, looking at that, look at him, he is very, very happy in life. We see, oh, wow, big house, isn't it? And costs a few millions. And the price is going up for the house. So you may be thinking, oh, how lucky he is. And he is thinking like this about him. And the car he has parked, one of the latest model cars. latest registration, everything. And this kind of analysis is external analysis. Looking at a person's wealth and judging that person's state in this world is an external analysis. But unfortunately, that is the topic here. Krishna's topic is that, to talk about that. So, keeping this point in the mind, Bichu had everything, isn't it? Bichu had everything. Everything gone one day. Everything gone, one after the other. The king went after him for the tax, took a lot of wealth. The thieves robbed him. Somebody set fire to the house. Everything lost. Wife left. Children also left. And the whole public turned against him. This is a story in the Bhagavad Gita. So when this has happened, what did the Bhikshu say at that time? You will see in the Bhikshu Gita this verse coming.
Sachahe damaho kashtam vṛdhā almā menudā vidā satma dharmāya nakāmāya yasyārthāya samīdrśā.
This is Bhikshu's statement.
Sachahedamaho kashtam vṛdhā almā menudā vidā na dharmāya nakāmāya yasyārthāya samīdrśā.
Yasyārthāyāsam īdrśām. Bhikshu is saying to us, this is the situation with many people in this world today, with a lot of struggle in my life. I struggled very hard and I made a lot of money in life. But with all that wealth, I just didn't do anything. In fact, you can see in the Bhagavadam, in the beginning, in the third canto, first time when Krishna appeared, there are 2-3 times Krishna's appearance and talking to Brahma on the first day of a kalpam of Lord Brahma, and creation begins. The sequence is like this. Krishna speaks to Brahma, then Brahma creates, and in the night everything gets dissolved. And in the next day morning again, Krishna appears and talks to Brahma, Brahma creates again. Like this sequence continues day after day after day. Only thing is, this day and night is very, very long, isn't it? So in one of those days, when Krishna told Brahma to create, Brahma told Krishna, I can't create anymore. I don't want to do this business anymore. He says to Krishna, I don't want to do this anymore. Krishna says, why? What's the problem? Brahma says, what I find with these people whom I have created, they come with such a strong vasana inside. And they will not do anything to please you. They try to please themselves. That's all what they do in this world. And he categorizes people there in this world, 3-4 different categories. One of the categories he mentions there is a very interesting category. What's that category? This category, people, he says, they won't do any sinful things. They won't do anything sinful. They follow dharmam in this world. They acquire wealth in this world, but they are busy with the family. Nothing else. If you tell them that this happiness what you are trying to get from this family life or from your social life or whatever that is, basically talking about material life, is not a permanent thing, it's not proper happiness, they won't listen. But the same, they will day after day after day, whole life, they will pursue this way of life and spend their life in this world and they'll go. Brahma says to Krishna, what should I do with these people? They won't listen. Even if you tell them anything, that there is, Shastram is saying to us, This happiness, what you are going to get from this world, from the family, from the society and all, is not the real happiness. Happiness is in Krishna, in self-realization or Krishna consciousness. Even if you tell them that, it will not get into their head. What should I do with them? Brahma asks that question. And Krishna answers that. We'll come to that later. But here, Bhikshu is saying to us that that people are working hard, no day, no night, no time to eat, no time to sleep. They haven't got time to go for a walk, no time to chant, no time for many meditation, no time for kirtanam, no time for deity worship, nothing. If you ask them why you are doing like this, they'll say, I want to be happy in life, therefore I'm doing this. Then you tell him, when are you going to be happy after death, is it? Whole life you have worked hard, like an ass, as they say in the Bhagavatam. But what will happen is, if you make a lifestyle like this, after a while, it will become a habit. And you become restless. As soon as you get up in the morning, you will run to the factory straight away. You can't stop it. It becomes a habit. In the beginning, you are forced to do it because of the situation in the world. Later on, that habit by constantly doing it for many years, it will become a habit. And once it has become a habit, then they will say that, I can't come out of it. That's the next thing. Then if you tell them, why are you working like this so many hours, especially in the certain jobs, it is like that now. It's very hard to come out of that, isn't it? And rarely some people, they had the intelligence to think about it. Why am I living in this world, for what? To work 20 hours a day, to please somebody. So you can see here that they had the intelligence to throw away the whole thing and walk out from that. But not due to that they were spiritually inquisitive. But they started realizing that all I need in this life is that I need some food to eat and a place to sleep. And I would also like to be a little or somewhat healthy in life. Instead, I could not do it if I keep on living like this the way I'm going on, 16 hours working a day and day after day doing the same thing without any time for anything else. So this entanglement in life which a lot of people are caught up in the world today, Krishna calls it, this has to go. This is not right. Why? Krishna says that yuktahara viharasya yukta chashtasya karmasu yukta saknava bhodasya yoga bhavati dukaha. Bhagavad Gita, you will see a verse like this. That if your eating habits and sleeping habits and recreation, everything, aharam viharam and your karmam, everything should be yuktam. It should be balanced. If it's not balanced, you are not a yogi, you are a rogi. Either you are a bhogi or you are a rogi. Because that's what it is. You are not a yogi anymore. Yuktahara viharasya yukta chashtasya karmasu yukta satnava bhodasya yoga bhavati dukaha. So, Krishna's opinion is that if you have a balanced life as far as eating is concerned, sleeping is concerned, imagine some life where people are living in this world. It's unbelievable that they are, for what they are doing all these things, you just don't know. Some illusion in that is what is called Brahmam. Krishna was saying that before, wasn't it? The word Brahmam. Brahmam means this. Some Brahmam inside, that if I do work like this for the whole life, and if I make a lot of money like this, I will become happy one day. This is called Brahmam. This is called Brahmam. So, therefore, there is a little few things to understand here. When they are working like this, right? They are saying that 5 days in a week, Monday to Friday, very busy. Very, very busy. Saturday and Sunday, I am doing Patanjali's yoga system, standing on the top of my head, Shirshasana. That is no use. 5 days you are doing this, and 2 days you are standing on your head for hours together, because I am practicing yoga on Saturday and Sunday, because I got time on that day. So, that is all useless. That's all useless. Altogether inside the person is totally unhappy. Totally unhappy. That is why Krishna uses this word in the Bhagavad Gita. You will see, samatvam yoga muchyate. Yoga state means always in the balanced state. Samatvam yoga muchyate. And you got to give importance to that. And you have to be satisfied with what comes from that. And if this decision is not there in one's life, then what will you do with the job and with the money, what you have got, all these kind of things? That means leave behind the spiritual side of life. But even your material life is concerned, there is no happiness in that. There is no happiness in that. So, Krishna's point, why Bichu is saying all these things is, Shandi, as he said before, Shandi, or Samadhanam, or peace inside, is necessary. And in order to have that Shandi inside, you have to have certain balance in life, Yukta Aharam. And Krishna uses the word Yuktam for that. And he says that way. And he says there that in that 6th chapter, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, Krishna didn't talk about the soul at that time. He said, bring your life to some balanced level, balanced state first. And Krishna says there, eating on time, sleeping on time, all this is a part of yoga process, yoga system. And that means even recreation, everything which is not against the religious principles. And that viharam. Therefore that verse is important. Yukta aharam, yukta viharam, yukta cheshta, karmam also. And yukta sopnava bodhasya yogo bhavadi dukkaha. So, the kind of karmam, what one does in this world, it should be yuktam, yukta sopnava bodhasya. And sleep should be yuktam. And even dreaming should be yuktam, Krishna says. Even while you are dreaming, it should be yuktam. And even when you are awake, it should be yuktam. It should be yuktam. That means, everything, yuktam means practically you can see moderate way. Everything in moderation. So, that means living within a particular line that you have drawn. I will live like this in my life. That means you have some control on your own daily life. On your own daily life. And in this way to live in this world and finish the life here is called a success. That is a success. To live like this and to live the world in that way. Many, many people lived like this in the past, but now because of the situation changing, many young people even do not know that there was a life like this, that they lived in this way. Many young people. Why? Because of this misunderstanding. When Krishna is saying here, yuktahara viharasya, yukta chashtasya karmasu, yukta satnava bhodasya, yoga bhavadi dukaha. Today, people have this misconception that success means that everybody should praise you. Your name should be in the paper. You should be in the television. People have developed all these misconceptions in their head. What to talk about ordinary people, even spiritually people, they also want this. They should be on, if you are on the television, which channel they will ask you? Which channel are you coming on? So, and youngsters, they have very young people, young men, in the modern world, they have also started studying Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam seriously. If you ask them, why are you studying so seriously Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam? Now he says, I have to give a lecture on the television. Therefore, I am studying Bhagavad Gita for that. It has become like this now. So, then others are watching them on the television and they are telling us, look, he is so young. See, how does he speak in the television? Have you seen him? So, what happened now? That person is thinking, because I have to go on the television, in the channel, there is a slot for me. And I have to speak. And it's all over the world, people are watching me on the television. So I have to study very well for that. Not for self-realization. For presenting in the television, I have to study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, all the commentaries, everything. As much as I can, so that I can speak well and impress the audience in the television. The audience, or the people who are watching the television, they are also saying this. Look at this young man, such a young age, he's only 20 or 25. He knows all the verses in the Bhagavad Gita. And look at the way he is speaking. It's amazing. You don't know anything about him. All you know is what you saw on this television. It is just like the musical concert. Isn't it? Spiritual life has become like this now. So, this thing what you are experiencing through the television, and the person who is presenting himself in the television, that fact and his real life, there is no connection at all. There is no connection at all. Practically, there is no proper wisdom inside. Original, or there is an original source of wisdom inside. He has no contact with the Mahatmas or realized souls. And instead of sitting in one place and studying the Shastram properly, without proper sadhana, anushtanam, just like it has become like a musical concert, one television station to another television station, or one radio station to another radio station, he is moving. Oh, I got a slot in Mumbai today. Next slot is in Delhi. I got only a 2 days, so I have to fly from here to there. This has become, the spiritual life also has become like this. So all these television stations, radio stations, and many, many programs in this world for spiritually minded people has simply become like a musical concert. So, because people have got this misconception that the purpose of spiritual life is all these things. What? To become famous in the television, to, and you feel that you are saving the world in that way. Name and fame and money also, which comes from that, isn't it? And name in the paper and things like that. And so, some people, they are studying Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam for what purpose? He says, so that I can go to America and speak Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam there. So, for the world tour, one temple to another temple. There are so many temples also everywhere now. So, from one temple to another, you can have the programs. But, and this is talking about spiritual leaders also. You can see this all the time if you observe carefully. What are they doing? Traveling from everywhere. And if great pleasure. How can anybody have a proper sadhana or anushtanam or steadiness in life when one is going on like this? But they are thinking, my job is only to give the class to others. I don't have anything else to do. That's finished with that. It's for others. If you want to do it, do it. I've told you what you have to do. Finished. On his own, he's not doing anything. He doesn't have any responsibility, he says. If this traveling like this all over the world and giving lectures is spiritual life, then you may as well become a chief executive of an IT company. He can do the same thing. He's doing exactly the same thing, isn't it? He's going on all around the world traveling, isn't it? You don't require all these things. This is not Vedic Dharma. Vedic Dharma is that rishis have given to us something which is a lot more different than all these things. This is all the modern things. You don't see this in the olden days. This is a new thing. Because due to the transport facilities now, and due to this communication facilities like television, radio and all that, to such an extent available, some people have taken to that and they made it a business out of this, thinking that this is all spiritual life is about. that you travel a lot from place to place, give lectures everywhere, and then people are also happy that they are coming, somebody, some guru or sower may be coming, and they are satisfied with it. And guru thinks that I have given them everything, you do what you want to do now with it. So who is better, the guru or the disciple? Whom do you blame for this situation? It is a very awkward situation. And imagine that when the rishis gave Bhagavatam to us or Bhagavad Gita to us, they never thought it will become like this, the way it is happening now. They never in their dreams ever thought that it will all turn out like this, the way it is today. So, so rishis are saying to us, spiritual life is a very individual thing. It's a very individualistic thing it is. Main purpose of spiritual life is that we have to feel happiness inside. We have to feel satisfaction inside us. And it should be possible for anybody and everybody in this world able to practice it. This spiritual life should be able to practice it. That is the purpose behind it. Purpose behind it. Even for someone who is working in the kitchen, while engaging in the services in the kitchen, she should be able to execute the spiritual life. That's how rishis have given it to us. The rishis have given it to us in that way. That means to stay within a system and able to bring the life within that system and to keep the life in a particular balance. That is the most important thing. But in many cases now, it has become practically very, very difficult because of the way the society has gone like this. And even though it is not going to change, one of us sitting here and talking about this, the world is not going to change. It will go on like this. But at least people will have to think about this. That what spiritual life we say, what the rishis have intended when they gave us Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharatam and many other Vedic literature, what they had in their mind was that people were able to take advantage of it, but not misuse it in a way that it has been happening now. So, here, Krishna is saying also that by keep talking about it, somewhere, sometime, somebody will think about it and take this seriously. That's all it is. Practically, what it is that more important thing in life is this balance in life. That is more important. What is the difference between the Sanatana Dharma or the Rishi's Dharma, Arsha Dharma, and this modern world? Rishi says to us, living properly is more important than what you produce through the life. Today, that is the Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma says to us that the way you live in this world, not that what you produced in this world, the way you live in this world is more important than what you produce in your life. Because people ask this question all the time. You have lived so many years in this world, what did you achieve in this life? That's what they ask us, isn't it? They ask this question, how many degrees have you got? Or how much money have you made? Or how many houses have you bought? People are thinking that this is, Sanatana Dharma means against all these things. Sanatana Dharma, the Rishi's point is, how did you live in this world? The time you had, how did you live here? With the time what you got. They are not asking you, how much money have you made in life? Or how much properties have you bought? Or what kind of car you are driving? They never asked such questions. This is the difference. In Sanatana Dharma, that living is more important than what you have produced in your life. What you have produced, what you have produced in your life is not important from their point of view. They gave importance how you lived in this world and used that time. In which way did you use it? That's more important. So then if you say to them that what I did in my life, I've chanted Hare Krishna, I studied Srimad Bhagavatam, they will say, what's the use of all that? People will ask this question. This is how they understand about spiritual life. They're saying anushtanam. Anushtanam means that, for example, in the traditionally, Brahmanas were given a certain responsibility in life. Getting up early in the morning and a whole morning program for everybody in different grades, in different level. Right up to the middle of the day, they were busy with the temple activities, spiritual activities. And and Rishi Dharmam, it is called, Rishis have given that to us to live in a certain anushtanam, in a certain observations of these rules and regulations, and to live in this world in peace of mind, shanti, and with the capacity to sacrifice for others. And this is called education in the eyes of the Rishis. Rishis call this as education. If you educate people to live a life like this, in peace, with peace inside, and able to spend the time in such a way that performing your dharmam, whatever that has been given, anushtanam, upasana, sadhana, everything what you has been given to us from by the rishis, and spending the day in such a way that there is shanti, samadhanam inside and peace inside, and also it develops what Krishna says in the Upanishads, tyagam. Tyagam means able to give that shanti to others for being peaceful yourself within. So that is what was called education in the past. Today, if you say education does not mean all these things what's going on in the university and colleges. It's not even considered education. Then, for example, education is not possible for everybody. Everybody won't be able to take to education, the modern education. And for even if you are not studying the modern education, following the modern education, even if you are studying Sanskrit, for example, there is Tarkam, Vyakaranam, and so many branches of Nyayam, all the other branches of the language to study. If we talk to you, to somebody about all these things, ordinary people won't understand all of that. Is it not? It's not possible. But if you talk about giving up in life our comforts and a willing to sacrifice for others, truthfulness, mercy or kindness to others, austerity, these things everybody can understand. Is it not? Those are qualities in a person which when you observe in somebody else these things, automatically you feel reverential towards them. When you see these qualities in a person, which one? Truthfulness, charitable, sacrificing nature, and mercifulness, and austerity. When such good qualities, when you find in a person, Rishis says that person is educated. He is educated when he has got these qualities. And books, studying all these books and all that, that is another thing. That is another thing. So, Bhikshu is saying to us in the Bhikshu Gita that if you have these qualities, because look at what the mistake Bhikshu has done. Bhikshu has gone and worked very hard in the world, made a lot of money. And one day, everything gone. Bhikshu opened his eyes. And what did he realize? He realized that I wasted all my life. Instead of developing the qualities, what was expected from a cultured Brahmana, I did not do anything for that purpose. Practically, proper education didn't happen to me. He realizes himself this. Why? It was expected from him. Everything what he did was against the principle for which he was meant to live in this world. Krishna had sent him here with a particular goal, and he acted totally opposite to that. And now when things gone wrong, he started analyzing things properly, and that is Bhikshugita, his analysis, isn't it? And he's saying to us, what has happened to me? What did I do in my life? It is a very important topic, because this is a sad thing what we see in this world today. It should open up the eyes also. So, he says here that I have wasted my life. I wasted my life. And the wealth I have made, I did not use it for dharma. For dharma. And even not even for artham and kamam. Because he was so miserly in the process of acquiring wealth, he wouldn't give it to his family members. He wouldn't even spend the money on himself. And he felt it later, and he said, I did not develop any of the qualities what one should have after living in this world. I didn't live that life either. Wealth is concerned. He's saying there, the wealth, what he has acquired. He says, it does only two things, this wealth. What does it do? It will make you to struggle and suffer in this world. It will make you to suffer in this world. And after death, it will take you to the hell. And this wealth is a visa for that. Wealth is a visa. It's a visa. It will make you to suffer and struggle in this world. And it will also allow you to take it directly, because while acquiring wealth, you got to get involved, whether you like it or not. The system is such that so many sinful reactions will come from that. And there is no excuse for all that. The after effect of all that will carry forward with us, isn't it? So it's just like a boarding pass for to go to the hell, the wealth that has acquired. So so he says there, if you look at the verse, Prayenartha Kadaryanam, 15th verse. Na sukhaya kadachana iha jalpobadavaya mrtasya narakaya cha. The realization of the bhikshu. Bhikshu is saying there that prayana artha kadaryanam na sukhaya kadachana. Artham, what is it done to me? It made my life a hell. The whole life I have been working very hard to get this money, acquiring this wealth. Prayana artha kadaryanam na sukhaya kadachana. Did I have any happiness in my life? No. Nothing. All I did was worked very hard to make so much money. Ihaja alpobadavaya mrtasya narakaya cha. Here I have tortured myself to make this money. And mrtasya narakaya cha. When I die, I will go to hell. I know, because this is how I have made the money. You may think that, see, this is the difficulty when we vikarmam comes in life. When we give up all the karmam the shastram has given us. When we have completely rejected that. And we have developed various ways of making money in this world. Is it not? Which is called vikarmam. Vikarmam. Which is not sanctioned by the shastram. That vikarmam mrtasya narakaya cha. Like the bhikshu is saying, I have also made money like this in wrong means, isn't it? So, and then he told in those verses, two verses he is saying, no, three verses, 16, 17, 18, 15, he is saying there, 15 problems, anartham, 15 things what money can create in life, what anartham money can create in life. You can see there. Yeso yesho yashasinam shuddham shlakhyaye guninam guna lobham solpobidan handi shitro virupam yuapsidam artasya sadhane siddhe ulkarshe rachane vyaye നാശോം ഉപഭോ നാശോഭോഗമായ ത്രാസശ്ചിന്ത ഭ്രമോ നൃണാം സ്ഥേയം ഹിംസ അനൃതം ദംഭം കാമം ക്രോധം സ്മയം മതം ഭേദം വൈരം അവിശ്വാസം സംസ്പർദ്ധ വ്യസനാനി ച ഏതേ പഞ്ചദശാന അർത്ഥം അർത്ഥമൂലാം. സോ 15 അനർത്ഥം. What will happen when you go into making money? When you go into making money, and when the wealth develops like this, what can happen from that? Which we have spoken when we discuss Bhikshagita. First thing, when the wealth comes, others will steal. It may not be direct stealing. There is a different ways of stealing, isn't it? The banks can steal, government can steal. They all have their own systems how to steal the money from you. And when you have a lot of wealth, the chances are that because of the hangaram inside, you will give trouble to others. And without any, in the process of acquiring wealth, without any difficulty, you will start telling lies. And there is a story, a frog got 25 pence. When the frog got that money, it stood like this in the street with this 25 pence. And frog expected that everybody will salute him. So there was an elephant passing through that way. When elephant saw that, elephant doesn't care for the frog and all that. Elephant didn't care. It hit the frog. Frog got upset with the elephant. Frog says to the elephant that, "You don't care for me, I got 25 pence with me." So even a frog can get puffed up with some wealth, isn't it? So you can imagine when there is a loads of wealth with this wealth, whoever it may be, but dambham, pride will develop, and with the result of that, you will lose faith in everybody. Some people, they hide the wealth. They won't even tell their children where it is. You don't know in families what all goes on in this world. Many people won't, unless you get involved in all these things, you won't know it. But often, people are frightened these days while getting married. They're frightened that after marriage, if it breaks up, what will happen? That fear. 50% may go. Isn't it? And you worked very hard, made 50 million pounds. You're not happy to hand over 25 million like that. Easily. You see the cases all the time in the paper. If you read a newspaper, you will see this kind of cases, isn't it? So people, you can understand that due to this, many instances, even grandparents now, because in the family there were so many marriages have happened and separated and happened and separated, they are not even trusting the grandchildren. They don't trust anymore anybody. They will keep the money with themselves, and they write and these solicitors also, they got a good business from that. They will articulate and write the will in such a way that the money will not be taken away, or they won't be cheated. They feel that they are getting cheated. Because everybody is frightened. What will happen if she goes away? If the marriage breaks up? Nobody is sure the marriage will last or not. These days are like that, isn't it? So, that is what Bhikshu is saying here. It is nothing but what Bhikshu has spoken then. He is saying that as much as there is wealth, there is anxiety associated with that. And samspardha, he says there, vedam, vairam, vedabuddhi will develop, vairam will develop, avishwasam will come from that, samspardha, and spardha, always thinking, oh, he has got more money than me, so I have to match up with him, isn't it? If he is showing off, I should also show off with what I have got, isn't it? So, all these things, 15 things he has spoken there, Bhikshu has spoken 15 things there. These 15 things is the after effect of this acquiring wealth. And after saying that, you can see that in the 20th verse,
Vidyande Bradaro Dara Pidara Pidara Sukhrdastatha Eka Snigdha Kakininya Kakininya Sadhya Sarveraya Krataham.
That. These things Vidyade Bradaro Dara Pidara Sukhrdastatha. Once you have made a lot of money, after that, there is no brother, there is no family. Relationships all break up very easily. Friendship will go. Friendship will also go, break away. And this has not happened today, it is happening all the time with the wealth. One member of the family has a lot of wealth, the other members become enemical. And then, two brothers who live comfortably together for a very long period of time, broken. Relationship gone. Relationship has gone. And that's what he's saying. Brother, dara, pidara, sukhrudastatha. Relationship between parents and the children broken up because of the wealth.
So,
so this problem about the wealth and the problems that comes from the wealth, what is spoken, Bichu has spoken, this is not a new thing. This is not a new thing. Says here, Ega snigdha kaginina sadhya sarve araya kritaha. Even from the time, from the Vedic times, at the time of the Rigveda, certain mantram in the Rigveda talks about this. It says here that one person, he made a lot of money. In the Rigvedic times they are saying this. That so when he got a lot of money, he got drunk, alcohol, consumed a lot of alcohol, and the king's agents, they caught him because he was drunk and punished him heavily and told him that he has stolen the wealth, and he was punished heavily by the soldiers. There is a Rigveda Suktam which talks about this in the Rigveda. A Rigveda Suktam talks about this in the Rigveda. That means from the Vedic times, this kind of problem what we find in the society today existed even then. We are talking about millions of years back. So you can understand that these things don't change. In the modern world it is quite common now, so we take it for granted, it's okay, that's the way it is. But it is not that it didn't happen before, it happened in the previous times also. So he says there that vidyande bradaro dhara pidara sukhrudastatha. There will be no more brothers relationship and pitara, children, parents relationship will break. Sukhrudastada, even relationship between friends will go. And Ega Snigdha Kaginam. So people who are normally in the families, who are together, had a reasonably good relationship, because of this money, that they became inimical each other. They became inimical each other. So Krishna is saying, also Bhikshu is also saying here, Ledhva Janmam, after getting this life, Amara Prathim Manushyam Tad Vijagryadam Tadanadrutyaye Swartham Ganandi Yanti Ashubham Gadim. Ashubham Gadim. That Ledhva Janmam Amara Prathim, even
human body has a certain value attached to it, given to it.
Amaras means demigods also envy this human body. It has its own purpose and it has its own utility.
And what they have done is saying here, tad anadrateye swartham gnandi yant ashubham gadim, that after getting this human body, and that too in the human body, you got a good birth as well. Good birth in the sense that you got an opportunity to take birth in a cultured Vedic tradition family, and you got an opportunity to study the Veda. And ultimately, what happened? You completely rejected everything. And that is what has happened among the even the Brahminical society. This is what has happened. They got an opportunity, a good birth in life, a good opportunity to cultivate spiritual life, opportunity to study Shastram, everything, but ultimately they rejected everything. Actually, this is called Brahmahatya. Brahmahatya means this. You may think Brahmahatya in the Bhagavatam and Mahabharata, when they talk about Brahmahatya, you may see killing a Brahmana is considered Brahmahatya. But actual Brahmahatya is this. That Brahmahatya means that you don't have to kill a Brahmana. What you have got in traditionally, through traditions, for not 1 year, 10 years, 100 years, 500 years, thousands and thousands of years tradition, what you got, and Krishna has given you an opportunity to take some benefit from that thousands and thousands of years of tradition, that samskaram, what you have got, you have mercilessly killed that and threw it away everything, and you are wandering around in this world without knowing what the life is meant for. That is Brahmahatya. Brahmahatya means that. That a tradition what has come from the rishis for thousands and thousands of years behind it. It's not 1 or 2 years. Thousands of years tradition which as rishis have given to us through the Shastram and through a way of life that was given to us. What did we do? We rejected the whole thing, threw it away and accepted something which we don't even know where it is taking us. Is it not? That mercilessly to insult them and to reject them and completely denigrating them in that way and to accept another way of life, completely falling away from the instructions given to us from them, is Brahmahatya. That is the way it is called Brahmahatya. And wandering around in this world not knowing what is the goal of life, isn't it? So that is why he is saying here that tadanadrityaye swartham, that is what it is. Tadanadrityaye swartham gnandi yandi ashubham gadim. That person shouldn't expect anything auspicious to happen in life. It won't happen. Why? Tadanadrityaye swartham gnandi yandi ashubham gadim. He will go in the inauspicious way for insulting them. Rishis who gave us all these things, and not only they gave us Shastram, they gave us a way of life itself, how to live in this world. And thousands of years, great, great personalities have come in that tradition and showed us how to live in that life in this world. But what did we do? We completely rejected them. Basically, that's what you have done, isn't it? We completely rejected them and accepted a lifestyle without caring for what they gave us and totally offensive to them. And Bhikshu is saying, Bhikshu is lamenting now for what he did himself, and he is saying, what do I expect after this for what I have done? He is saying, Gnandiyandi Ashubham Gadim, I can only have a life for what I am living now, the result I can understand what's going to happen, he says there. So I have insulted them, and what all I have done for my own advancement, I have blocked it by doing this. I would have, Krishna gave us Brahmanasya hi dehoyam chudragamaya neshyade. Krishna says in the Agadisham, isn't it? I given this body to him to live that life. If he's not living that, and he uses the body for chudragamaya neshyade, if he uses it for temporary sense gratification, then Krishna says to Uddhava, he will have to pay a very heavy price for that. It is in the Bhagavatam. Brahmanasya hi dehoyam chudragamaya neshyade. So, and to those who do this, who have completely stopped their advancement in spiritual life for the body what the Krishna has given to them to advance, they have blocked their own progress in the spiritual path, and that will end up in a difficult situation, inauspicious situation will come to him. Therefore, this human body, our Bhikshu says, this body, which can take you to heavenly planets, which can also is a door open for liberation, and I got a birth in this world for that purpose. Instead, I got absorbed in the least important things, like making money, and little silly things in this world, I got stuck up with that. And if I keep sticking to that, there is nobody who is more foolish than him. You can see here, little attractions in this world that blocks our advancement in spiritual life, isn't it? After saying this, Bhikshu is saying there, that why is that human species, they give up this process of bhakti process, and getting attached to all these kind of little things and living like this in this world. When he has got an opportunity to live with total freedom and in bliss in this world, but he has covered all that and he's got attracted to some silly things in this world and he lives life like this. And after that, Bhikshu got a total surprise and he sang that song, Bhikshu Gita, isn't it? And it was after this, by now Bhikshu had the total renunciation, detachment from this world. And when Bhikshu, after this experience, when others gave him trouble, you notice that he was not disturbed over it, is it not? Which is an amazing thing, what Bhikshu has achieved in life. Bhikshu says, this state of mind what I have achieved now is much more higher than all the wealth what I have acquired. Look at the way Bhikshu has analyzed it well. I worked hard, earned a lot of money. And people were saying that you have done very well in your life. But when I lost all the wealth, and when I was kicked by the world, they passed urine on me, they spat at me, they beat me up. When all these things happened, my mind did not get disturbed. And he felt extremely happy inside. He's saying that I have reached that state which is meant to be after living in this world. That Bhikshu Gita is important because of this. That when Krishna is saying there, you see, why Krishna took this Bhikshu Gita into Bhagavatam? Why did he do that? Because when Uddhava asked this question to Krishna, is it possible for somebody to be like that? When Krishna says to him, Nishtido mutrido va ajnir bahudevam prakampidaha shreyaskama krishragada alpana alpana mudharel. That in alpana alpana mudharel, one has to elevate oneself. Bhikshu has done that, is it not? Altman, Altmana Mudharet. On his own, he decided that I'm not going to get disturbed by any of these things in this world. And he was able to hold on to that. And Krishna was so impressed by the Bhikshu. He did not care what he did in his life before, acquiring wealth. But the way he came out of that illusion, that Brahmam, what Krishna spoke about as Brahmam. It's a Brahmam it is. That how he came out of that Brahman, from that illusion,
And Shreyas Kama Krishragada Alma Almanamudharel.
One who has done that in this life and showed to the world it is possible to come to that state, that steadiness inside. And at that time Uddhava asked the question,
Yadhaiva mane buddhyayam vadano vadanam mara sudusahamimam manye almanya asadadikramam.
Then it is very difficult thing to be like this, isn't it? When somebody, especially after you have made a lot of money in this world, that hangaram also is inside, and then you have big position in this world, big name in this world, recognition from the society, you are a famous personality, VIP and all that, and then suddenly everything gone. Not only that, the whole world has turned against you. And at that time, he's saying here that yadaivai anubuddhyayam vadano vadanam mara sudusamimam manye almanya asadadikramam.
It's very difficult to accept the insults and offenses from this world and to be peaceful inside. But what the rishis have taught us is how to develop that state inside us, is it not?
So, at that time, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava says to Krishna, Vidushama vivishvalpan, because to come to this realization is not easy. Why? Prakritirhi beliyasi. Prakriti is too powerful. When you are under the clutches of Prakriti, Maya, that krade toddharma niradhan shantamste charanalayan, that it is not possible to come to that shanti state inside, to be remaining in that shanti state. It was at that time Krishna said to Uddhava, Brihaspatiya, disciple of Brihaspati, that there are people who have done it in this world. And then I'll tell you the story of this Bhikshu. That is how Bhikshu's story came into Bhagavatam. So you can see that Bhikshu, when all the miseries happened in his life, when everything went wrong for him, is it not? All the wealth was taken away, family all finished, gone. So-called friends, they all became enemies. The king turned against you. Thieves and everybody has put you into such an awkward, difficult situation. But when all these things happened, even though he was given all this trouble, he didn't get disturbed over that. He didn't go to the astrologer to find out why it has gone wrong. He didn't go to a doctor to consult what I should do. He didn't try to change the world. That is his success. He says, I don't have to change anybody here. There is nothing to be changed here. Everybody who has come to this world according to their prarabdham. They have come here. And many of us, we lose this peace inside because of this problem, that to try to change the world. We want to change the world, isn't it? That's where the problem starts. Whole problem starts from there. We are finding it difficult to change ourselves. And we want to go and change the world. So Bhikshu did not try to change the world. Did you see? He didn't tell anybody anything. You change like this or change like that. He changed himself. The important thing, what Bhikshu did was, he threw his mind away. Completely threw the mind away. Isn't it? He's saying there, there's no point in thinking about the devas, demigods. And he says there, he didn't even blame them. Nayam janomi sukha dukha hedu. Na devadalma griha karma kalam. Manaparam karana mamanandi samsara chakram parivartaye bhul. That was his answer, isn't it? So, what he did was that everything outside the soul, the self, everything he rejected. Practically, he has established himself in the platform of the soul. He didn't care for the body. Mind, he said, he doesn't want to listen to the mind anymore, nor the senses, nor the world. Nothing, including his body, he rejected.
That means, if you have given up the mind, practically you have given up everything, because it is through the mind we are connected to this body. Is it not? So that is why he is saying there, if you look into the Bhikshu Gita, in the second verse he mentions this. Our connection, because body, mind and the world, means senses, sense objects, all these are anatma, outside us. We are atma, they are all anatma. Anatma he gave up completely, but the connection with the anatma is through the mind. That is what he is saying there, that once I given up this connection with the mind, then my connection with the world is gone, connection with the body is also gone. That's what he is saying here. Mano gunanvaye srijade baliyam tadascha karmani vilakshanani shuklani krishnanyadha lohidani tebhya savarna sudayo bhavandi. The second verse. Mano gunanvaye srijade baliyam tadascha karmani vilakshanani shuklani krishnanyadha lohidani tebhya savarna sudayo bhavandi. This mind, we have to know how this is working inside. Even though you can't see this thing called mind, where is it? What is it? How is it doing its job? But this mind can manufacture things even better than in a factory which is running 24 hours. It's capable of doing that. This mind. Like, there are so many factories nowadays, they run 24 hours. Is it not? 7 days a week, 365 days a year, continuous production. They say by doing that, they can be more profitable. And mind is also like that. It doesn't have night, day. 24 hours it can work, if you put it to work. It can keep working. That's what he's saying here. Shuklani krishnani atha lohitani. Bhikshu is saying here. What does that mean? Shuklani krishnani atha lohitani. For example, sometimes rajogunam comes inside. Sometimes sattugunam comes inside. And sometimes tamogunam comes inside. So, according to the coming of sattugunam, rajogunam or tamogunam, our mood changes. We react in different ways, isn't it? It is never the same. Why mind is constantly changing? It's thinking one way, 1 minute, another way, another time. So, it will never stay in the same condition. Always changing its nature. Sometimes, some good thoughts comes into the mind. And just like sometimes you get some good products in the market. Similarly, sometimes this mind produces some good thoughts inside. Why it has created good thoughts, you don't know. It makes you think like that, isn't it? And after some time, you feel sleepy. You want to go and sleep. And then after some time, you want to go and do something when rajogunam comes. When sattugunam comes, some good thoughts comes in. When tamogunam comes, you want to go and sleep. When rajogunam comes, you want to go and do something. Sometimes you can observe these things very clearly within yourself. It is the best place to inquire this. Suddenly you spring into action. Oh, I got to do so many things here. Where does this thought comes from? It came from inside, because you can see how the rajogunam is working inside. Similarly, when sattugunam comes, you are a little bit peaceful inside. So you feel, oh, today I should do something to hear Bhagavatam or to engage in some spiritual activities, rather than there is nothing in this world to worry about. So that sattugunam guide you in one way. And tamogunam tells you, when tamogunam comes, what is there in this world? Let me have a good sleep. That you go into the bed, isn't it? Going to bed. So how the modes of material nature, sattugunam, rajogunam and tamogunam, how they keep coming one after the other inside and changes our way of thinking inside, how the thoughts develops inside.
But all of these things, when they come, when Nijavana comes particularly, you have to do something. If you don't do something about it, they say. Isn't it? If you don't do something, that urge inside, that is the nature of the human body. When Krishna made us, when Brahma put us together, this package, he put one drop from the Sattvagunam, two drops from Rajogunam, and one drop from Tamogunam. Mentions, Brahma himself says that, Rajodigaha Karmavaraha. Because there is two drops of Rajogunam inside, Karmavaraha always wants to do something or the other. Doing, doing, doing becomes the whole thing. Karmavaraha. What else? Dukheja Sukhamaninam. Even though doing all kinds of karmam, and a lot of distress is coming from all that, still we will say, that's life, isn't it? Where does Shastram say life has to be like this? Where does it say? But you find a lot of shelter in that, isn't it? That philosophy. Suddenly a person who is working like an ass whole day, he becomes very great philosopher. Is it not? Did you not notice this in people? It happens. People have worked very hard throughout life. One day, after working so hard, when things have all gone wrong, they are saying that, after all, that's life, isn't it? Rajodigaha karmavaraha dukheja sukhamaninam. That even when distress is coming, he will not give it up. He will go chasing the same thing again, saying that one day it's all going to happen. If you observe people who walk into all these betting places, day after day they are losing money. But one day they are going to win. That day hasn't come yet. It will come one day. Similarly, all kinds of lottery tickets and so many things like this. Investment in shares, stocks and shares, banking. We call it all this very modern, isn't it? What is modern about it? The same nonsense what was going on thousands of years is going on in another format now. Now there is computers to help all that things in a much better way. Otherwise, the function is exactly the same. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. So, Rajodiha, Brahma told in a very one line, they have got Rajogunam in them. When there is Rajogunam in a person, he has to work. He cannot stay away from that. Rajodiha, Karmavaraha. And then, when everything goes wrong, disappointment comes. Dukheja Sukhamaninam. He will try to find happiness from there. So, because of this, so, what should be done for this? Bhikshu is saying that. Then what have you done with this mind? Mind is behind. That is where all the modes of nature is working, isn't it? He says, I completely beaten that mind and told him to leave me. I don't want you to be with me anymore, he said. Suppose a dog comes to your house, and suppose every day a dog came to your house, you gave some food to the dog. If a few days you give the food to the dog, he won't leave you. He will come and stay with you, he'll become a member of the family. Is it not? He'll become a member of your family. But you never gave any food to the dog and told him to leave, then he will go. He won't come to you anymore. Similarly, Bhikshu is saying here that I have made the mind redundant. I told him you can go. No money for you. You will not be entertained anymore. So instead of relieving him and sending him away, if you keep him, that after some time what will happen is he will become the boss. The mind will become the boss and he will give you trouble. He will give you trouble. So for many of the people in this world, the thing what causes problem for them is this thing called mind. So give up that connection with the mind, and this is the process what Buddha, Lord Buddha did. Lord Buddha followed this process. And among the Patanjali's Yoga Sutram also, these yogis also follow this process. How to disconnect with the mind. So, how do you give up this connection with the mind? That's the most difficult thing, is it not? So, sometimes you can see, here we have got a lot of old age homes, so it's not a big problem. In India,
Still older people have to live with the family members. Is it not? Say when they are 80, 90, like that. They are cared by the children or grandchildren who are at home. They are looking after them. So when you get so old, your control on the mind and speech, everything goes away. They'll keep talking without any sense. Sometimes they'll keep on talking and talking and talking. And that's a kind of old men and old women, both. So they'll keep on talking without any caring for others. They are not conscious of others are listening or anything. That one that is coming to their mind, they'll keep on talking about it. And a new person has come to your house and he's saying to you, what is your granddad saying? So you'll say to him, look, that's his nature. He keeps talking. Don't take notice of it. You do that, isn't it? It happens all the time in the families, isn't it? So similarly, this mind inside, he's older than us. Means older than this body. Body is not that old as the mind. Mind is the older one. And he has got everything from so many lifetimes, not from this life alone. Therefore, he is older than the body itself. And therefore, the mind will keep on doing, working like this, from inside. So, there is one way that you can come out of this, that is what Bhikshu is saying here. And that's the only thing that will work for them. It's a direct help. That from now on, let any thoughts come to me from inside, I'm not going to listen to my mind anymore. Like you can see, you know, some of the, not now anymore, but say about 40, 50 years ago when radio came first time, it was new in the market. There was Bush, Murphy, Philips and all kinds of companies who were bringing radios. And radio was a big thing at that time, say about 50, 60 years back. And now it's all, no, nobody cares about radio anymore. But when this radio came, they didn't work very well, some of them. And a lot of people started manufacturing. And sometimes even if you switch them off, it won't go off. It will keep working. The radio will keep on still. You won't know how to switch it off. And finally you give up, isn't it? Or pull the plug, everything, power supply. You can't switch it off anymore. Similarly, that radio, when you switch it off, it will still continue with the music. These days, I'm saying from our own experience that there was not so many radio stations in India, but in Sri Lanka there was a powerful American station. And it used to blast from there all over southern India. And with all the noise and sound that used to come through, they were using it for their propaganda, whatever that was going on at that time. And a lot of Tamil songs and music and everything used to come from that. And this radio won't listen. And that was such a high, powerful station that was. And you could hear that all the time. You could never switch it off. That was the problem. Similarly, what the yogis are saying, that let the mind, let it carry on in that way. Bhikshu is also saying that I just gave up that connection with the mind. So why? Because the mind is actually the interpreter. It interprets things. When something comes, you start thinking you are happy or unhappy. Why? Mind is interpreting that particular thing. Say, for example, mind is interpreting. For example, so many things, how mind interprets things in us. A man sees a girl outside in the road. Mind says she is very beautiful. She doesn't know. He is thinking like this. Why? The mind is saying to him that she is very beautiful. Mind interprets that. Somebody else sees her and says she is not that beautiful. So this thing called the beauty and everything is in your mind, some concept in your own mind, that mind does this all the time. Somebody has spoken something and you were very good friends with him. For a long period of time you had a friendship with somebody. Then one day another person came and told you that, look, you know what he told me about you? He said something and he has gone. Then in your own mind, you have thought about that person, about your so close friend. You said, he has spoken about me like this. I have to be careful with him. And that relationship straight away breaks from that day. Changed completely. He may or may not have said, you don't even know whether he has said that or not. And that person, what he meant, you are not even spoken to him. He has not told you and you cannot talk to him. But somebody else has told you. But because somebody else has said something about you, quoting that person, you have misinterpreted everything and within yourself, mind has made a decision that that person is not worthwhile to be a friend. So, and mind is telling you that this is the way you should deal with him in the future. See how things can change. So everything inside us when it's happening, it's a decision made by the mind based on the way the gunam, particular gunam, sattugunam is inside, it will interpret in one way. If rajogunam is inside, it will interpret in a different way. If tamogunam is inside, it will interpret in a different way. The same incident will be interpreted in three different ways according to the modes of nature inside us. So, that is what he is saying here. He is analyzing the mind there and saying to us, you can see there, in the 45th verse, Aniha malma manasa samihata Hiranmayo malsagamudvichashte Manaswalingam parigrihya kaman Jushan nibaddo gunasangado saum. Then everything is about the mind, 4-5 verses, which we have talked before. Dhanam sadharmo niyamo yamascha shudam jakarmani jasad bratani sarve mano nigraha lakshananda parohi yogo manasas samadhi samahidam yasya mana prashandam danadi vikim vadatasya krityam asamyadam yasya mano vinashyan danadi vischedabaram kimebhi mano vashenyeha bhavan smadeva manascha sanyasya vasham sameti bhishmo hi deva sahasas sahiyan yunjadvashetam sahi deva deva tam durjayam shatram asashatram asakhya vegam arundudam tam abhijitya kechil kurvand asad vigraha matra martyai mitrani udasina ripun vimodha mitrani udasina ripun vimodha. So it is due to this mind, what all mind has done to us. It has created, it makes us feel somebody is my friend, somebody is my enemy. And another third person, he is neither friend nor enemy, but at the same time, I have no connection with him. You call Udasinan. Udasinan means he is indifferent. Say somebody I see him on the street, he is Udasinan for me. Somebody else is my friend, somebody else is my enemy. These three categories, that's what he's saying there. Mitrani, Udasina, Ripun, Vimodha. Who created this? The mind has created this. Isn't it? So, and he said, Deham mano matram imam grihitva, mamaham iti andhadiyo manushyaham, eshoham anyoyam idi brahmena, durandapare tamasi brahmandi. Eshoham anyoham. This is me, that's him. He is separate from me. Eshoham anyoham. Iti brahmena. This brahman has created inside. And actually, there is no anyan, there is no aham. Both are illusion, brahman. Eshoham anyoham iti brahmena durandavare tamasi brahmandi. In this way, he continues to live in this world in that tamasi brahmandi. In that tamogunam, he lives like this. And to say that I am and you and he and she, all this is saying, who says all these things? Mind is saying this, isn't it? So, therefore, that Veda Buddhi, Eshoham Anyoham Idi Brahmena, me and mine and you and yours, that is how the whole world is running, isn't it? Eshoham Anyoham. Where is this coming from? From the mind. Where the treatment is required. Where the treatment is required. So, this Bhikshu Gita is, these things what has been discussed in this Bhikshu Gita is the introduction to later on in Krishna's instructions about the Jnana Yoga when it comes to the 28th chapter. So we'll have a short break now and we'll continue after a few minutes.
Cheto darpanam arjanam bomaha navagni nirvapanam shreyakaitava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pratipada purna amrita swadanam sarvatma savanam varam vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam namaha makari bahudani jasarva shakti tatrarpidani midam smaranena kalam adrishitava kriva bhagavan mamabhi Udeva Pidrashamiha Janinanuragaham Trinaravishuni Jena Samishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitamva Jagadisha Kamai Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Pavadat Bhaktirahai Dugitvai Ainandadanu Jagingaram Padidamaham Shami Pavambudo Krabaya Dava Pada Panga Jastida Duli Sadrasham Vichindaya Nayanam Galada Shodharaya Vadanam Gadgadarudhaya Gira Pulagayar Mijidam Kadavabhu Tava Mahamagrahane Bhavishyadi Yugaidam Dimeshena Chakshusha Pravishayidam Shunyayidam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahe Name Ashleshyama Padaradam Vinashtumam Adarshanam marmahadam karyoduva yadha tathava vidadadulam kato malprananathastuna evanakara. So, eshoham anyoham, anyoyam idi brahmena, durandavare tamasi brahmandi. I am, you are, he is, she is, all these things, who is saying this? Mind. Mind is saying this, isn't it? So, and that mind is the avidya or ajnanam. And all the distress is coming because of this interpretation what the mind is doing all the time. Mind is interpreting all the time in different things. Mind is working and it is interpreting things. According to interpretation, you will feel happy or distress in this life, isn't it? So, therefore, in Vedantam, they call it Ajnanam means mind. Ajnanam means mind. In the Viveka Chudamani also, you will see this particular reference to the mind. Mind takes birth, Vijrumbade, it says. Vijrumbanam. Vijrumbanam means it takes off from inside, from the Atma. So, if you take the mind away, there is no separate thing called avidya, ignorance. There is no thing called avidya. It is the mind itself. So that is why in the Udidevi said this, avidya kama karma bhi, isn't it? Avidya kama karma bhi. So, so that is why they will say, avidya is the beginning, ignorance inside. Ignorance of what? Ignorance of who we are. That we don't know. That is where the problem begins, isn't it? It's okay. And they call this avidya as primeval ignorance. Primeval ignorance, primeval error. Ignorance. That is mind. Bhikshu is saying here, this our body is all together, isn't it? Body, the mind, the intelligence, all mixed up. This is our present state, isn't it? That is what he is saying there, that deham, look at the verse 50,
Deham manomatramimam grihitva. Deham manomatramimam grihitva. What is he saying? He is saying to us that deham manomatram. Where did this body come from? It came from the mind. Not that mind came into the body. Body came from the mind. Deham manomatramimam grihitva. So if the changes happens in the body, mind, it will change the body as well. If there is changes happening in the mind, there will change, that change will affect the body as well. Deham manomatramimam grihitva mamahamit andhadiyo manushyaha. Me and mine, mamaham. Mamahamitya andhadiyo manushyaha. So we are acting in this world with the body, and this activities of the body is controlled by the level at which the mind is. Me and mine, how strong it is inside, accordingly your activities in this world as well. So that is why Bhikshu is saying here that mind you can never understand. Body is there solid. You can see the body. It is solid there, isn't it? And but mind is not something which you can put your fingers on and say, this is it. That's the way mind is working. Body is solid. You can repair the body. You can fix it and treat it. And it needs a time and space, everything. Mind doesn't need time and space. It will go anywhere, isn't it? Completely. So, when we have not come out of this manomandalam, from the field of the mind, and not known who we actually are, that is our spiritual identity, Atma, the soul, and one who has realized that, for that person, who has realized that who he is, for him, body doesn't exist anymore, world doesn't exist anymore, and mind also doesn't exist. After he has caught to his pure consciousness state, what he is, pure consciousness, it doesn't exist. So that is why you will they mention in Vedantam like this, that unless you go into that place where you know who you are and where you have come to realize your true identity, which in the Upanishads refers to as Nitya, Shuddha, Buddham, Mukta, Swarupam. That means eternal, pure, and fully conscious, always liberated. Whereas when you are in the body, what do you think? I have to die one day. Identifying with the body, I'm saying. All these things happen. I am limited by the space where I stay. Whereas in pure consciousness identification, this identity we totally lose this. Which one? The limitations, what is imposed by the upadhi. Upadhi means body and the mind and the intelligence and senses, everything. So that location where that pure consciousness is present, and unless you go there and become one among in that state, there is no freedom from this misery. This will stay like this forever. So when that realization of knowledge of the self happens, when that is functioning there, little bit at least, you will notice that the world disappears from us. Mind disappears. Along with the world and the mind, these things will also disappear. Which one? Eshoham, Anyoham. I am you. Me, you. These things will go. Me and you will go. Me and you is a big problem, isn't it? You remember Nimi Navayogi Sambhadam, Hari Maharshi mentions this. How he put it in a little different way. Same thing, he spoke in a different way. If you look into the second chapter,
when he mentioned about a first class devotee, remember, first class devotee, when he spoke about, what did he say? Sarva bhudeshu yapashet bhagavat bhavama altmana bhudani bhagavat yalma esha bhagavato tama. Beda bhavam has gone from him. Eshoham anyoham, that thing goes away first. So when Eshoham anyoham has gone, it is Bhagavad Bhava. That is Bhagavad Bhava, Alma Bhava, Brahmanishta. You can call by any different names, one and the same thing. Eshoham anyoham has gone. So that exactly what Bichu is also saying. Same thing Hari is also saying, Hari Maharshi. Eshoham anyoham iti Brahmena. It is a Brahmam, it is. He is separate from me, I am separate from him. She is separate from me, she is separate from him. In this way, and for us, in the conditions, this is called conditioning. Conditioned state, we are all individuals. Everybody separate from other, isn't it? We are all separated from one to another. But Krishna is saying here that a little bit of self-realization, once you have got a little bit of taste of the self, the first thing that will disappear is the world, goes away. Because this Eshoham and Anyoham is there, therefore the world is there. Once that separation is gone, the world is gone. You know the way Vedantam, how they define the world, is not the way how we define the. For us the world is earthly planet, Mars planet, moon planet, all these kind of things. This is what, based on the matter, we are looking at the world. From Vedantam, they don't look at the world through matter. What do they say about world? World is, there's only four things they're saying. World means that I am the doer, I'm the enjoyer, and what else? Ragam dvesham. Ragam dvesham kartrutva bhoktrutvam. These are the four things that is in the world for us, isn't it? Looking at the world and looking at the dead matter and saying this is the world is not a very intelligent understanding, is it? Looking at this whole, I mean, even we don't have a clue how much is in the creation, isn't it? We don't even know how much is the creation. How much is this creation? We don't know. Some people are saying, they say there's a black hole. If you go into the black hole, you won't come out of it. There's a research going on. These scientists are so ignorant of all these things. Their way of looking at things is so daft, everything, that they define the creation in one way, galaxies and all constellations and I don't know what all they have, all kinds of words they have created. And they have going on experimenting with the matter. But look at the Vedic way of looking at it. They are saying to us, why you bother about matter so much? Where matter itself is nothing but Krishna. That is how Bhagavatam is presenting to us. Brahma is saying to us, all this has come from you. So you are the reality, not the world. World is real. You are not rejecting the world. But in the extent that, because it has come from you, you are the real one, not the world. But science is saying, what you are seeing with your eyes is the real thing. That is no meaning at all. So anyway, important thing is here, that a little bit of realization will make us realize this important thing, that the world is not real. That realization will come from that, because along with that, ragadvesham will go. Ragadvesham, kartrutva, bhoktrutva. Attachment, aversion. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. This is the world. As far as Vedantam is concerned, these four things. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Attachment and aversion. When these four things have gone away from inside, there is no world anymore. Why do you give importance to the world? Because you are attached to the world. Therefore you are giving importance to it. From your bodily level, you are looking at the world and saying that the world is like this, like this. You have developed all the technology and science around that. But from the spiritual point of view, from the Shastram point of view, world is not this matter what you see, how many planets and how many universes and all that. We haven't got a clue how many we have.
You keep on, every time they increase the size of the telescope and keep looking. Something more they will find every time. And they will say, we have found out something new. What is there? Already they are there. What is there to find out so much? Big deal. Such an ignorant understanding, isn't it? The science is like that. So anyway, that's science. Leave that. So here, Krishna is saying to us that little bit of this understanding, that is why in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when you finish, Esham Brahmi Siddhi Partha, even a little bit of that will take you a long way in your understanding of the truth. Understanding of the truth. Remember that? 72nd verse in the second chapter. So, one who has realized that for him, world doesn't exist, mind doesn't exist, and then what else? Me, you, Eshoham Anyoham, and Eshoham Anyoham, all these things will go away. When we say all these things, right, people will say, tell me something that is practical. Don't tell me all this kind of philosophy. Just tell me something practical, they say. Then, that they'll say to you like this, what do they want practical? To keep your body very healthy, so that you can keep your body very healthy, mind very peaceful, and your intelligence in a perfect condition. Have you got anything in your books to tell us how to do all these things? Vedantam says to us, we don't have anything to offer you. That's the answer. If you're asking these questions, people want all these things. They want a good healthy body, a peaceful mind, and a very sharp intelligence. Intellect, isn't it? So they're asking, in your shastram, is there anything to keep all these three in a good order? The shastram is telling us, we have nothing to offer. Because this is not what shastram is talking about. Shastram is saying that there is another thing inside you which is not touched by this mind, which is not touched by the intelligence, in other words, which is not even touched by avidya. Avidya means ignorance, ajnanam or avidya. There is a center inside, and that is the self. That is the self. So, knowing that and realizing that and to be situated there, all these are all obstacles. Which one? The body is a problem, mind is a problem, intelligence is a problem. So, because when the mind is opening up in the morning, every night mind goes to sleep, is it not? When you move from dream state to deep sleep state, the mind goes away. Where has he gone? Nobody knows. But he comes back in the morning, every morning, isn't it? And then you start your actions in this world straight away. So, when the mind starts opening up, and it is fully open in the vacant state, and when it starts contracting, it goes into dream state, and in the contracted state is the dream state. And when it expanding again, it comes to the vacant state. So in the vacant state, it is fully expanding and expands into the world and to the gross body. When it withdraws from the gross body and from the world, it contracts, and that state, it is called the dream state. And finally, in the deep sleep state, it completely disappears. It completely disappears. This is the way the mind is, you can sense it in the world through this body. So, practically, it comes into different dimensions of the mind. You can say three dimensions, four dimensions in that way, or multi-dimensions. And every day, in the vacant state, it keeps on expanding. Which one? The mind. Not only that, it keeps on expanding, and it is a big magic, what the mind does, isn't it? Sometimes if you look at people, what all this mind is telling them to do, and what it is capable of. Where they come up with all these ideas, you don't know. How complicated this mind is. It doesn't matter whether you are a devotee or a demon. Both get different ideas from inside. Devotee gets one kind of ideas, demon gets another kind of ideas. Demons, they get ideas with which they want to destroy the world, and their plans and their ambitions and aspirations, if you look at, you will start thinking, you have got only a short period of life in this world. And within this short period, what all he wants to do? Like Hiranyakashipu wants to control the whole planet, control everybody in this world. And not only that, they are not even satisfied with this planet, wants to go to all the other planets and see if we can get some control over there as well. In Mars or Moon or wherever we can get there, isn't it? And if we can't go directly there, we build another space station in between. And from there we can operate to get control of those places. But that nature of the mind is dictating from inside to go in that direction. So what is interesting is this mind, who is making all these plans and actions in the dream state and in the vacant state, what happens in the deep sleep for this mind? He's not there even. If you look for, where is he? There's no sign of him, isn't it? So when you are in your deep sleep state, there is nothing there. Whereas as soon as you woke up, the mind has come back. And when the mind has come back, I have come back, you have come back, she has come back, he has come back. This Brahman has come along with that. It is a Brahman it is. Because it's only in the vacant state, in the dream state, these things are real. As soon as you go into the deep sleep state, they have gone. Therefore Krishna calls it as Brahman, isn't it? Not only all Eshoham and Yoham, the whole world has also come in the vacant state, isn't it? So and then so many countries in this world, and so many planets. And where were they all in the deep sleep? Where did they go? And if you try to capture all of them, will you get it? You will never get it, isn't it? So, in all these things, what have you got with yourself on your own to say? The body is not in your control. It is coming, it's going. It comes one day, it has come, and one day it will go. It is not under your control. The body is not under your control. You are thinking that it is under your control, but it's not under your control, isn't it? That, is it in your control? Because even if you have done everything to perfect this body, body won't listen to you. It will go its own way. It has its own way. After a while dealing with this body, you will know it yourself. There's not a lot you can do about it. You will get medicines, you will get so many treatments, you will try to beautify it. But no matter what you do, at the end body will go its own way. Isn't it? So, so body's nature is like that, where you have no control over it. Nature of the mind is also like that. Thoughts are coming on its own, it is doing so many things and force you to do various things in the day, and it goes in the night and goes away somewhere, we don't know where it's going. Where it's gone. In the deep sleep, you don't even know where it's gone. So, when you look at it, neither your body nor your mind is willing to listen to you. It's not under your control. Neither of them. What to talk about all the other things in this world. All the other things in this world. Just like you can see, one person is driving the car in this world. So, another person is not following the rules properly. So the one who is following the rule, he says to the other person, you should follow the rules in this world while driving. So he says, why are you so particular about me following the rules? He says to him, no, I'm not particular about that, but if you come and hit me with your car, then I'm in trouble. I'm having problems, isn't it? So just yourself being systematic is not enough. When we are in this world, you have to take that also into account, isn't it? You may be very good, a good person, doing everything correctly and following the rules and regulations. That's fine. But if everybody else is not doing it, yourself following the rules and regulations, what's the use? Somebody can come and give you that trouble, isn't it? So, therefore, from this you have to, the same thing. In this world, even if you have brought everything under your control in a particular system, and that means including the world, including your body, including your mind, but because it is all external, you can see that part is not under your control. world is not under your control. The mind is also not under your control. The body is also not under your control. None of them is under your control. When we are talking about world, you are not talking about all the planets and the oceans and the mountains and the hills and the rivers and all that. That it also includes your own body, where your liver, have you got any control over it? Kidney, what control have you got? Heart, what control have you got over that? These kidney, liver, heart and all that, that is also different planets in the body. That is why this whole package together, the world, the body, the mind, everything together is called Maya. That's how it is referred. Everything is called Maya. What is the reason? What is the reason? Why is it called Maya? The body is called Maya. The mind is called Maya. The world is called Maya. Total package is called Maya. Reason is, you will never be able to get a perfect knowledge about these things. That is the reason. Never, ever, you will be able to have a full, perfect knowledge of your body, of your mind, or about the world, or about the world. That is why this whole inquiry about this world, where the way science is going, it will never end. It will give a lot of job for a lot of people forever. It will keep you on the job. Plenty of work. Because it will never end. If you have a job like this, it's very nice, isn't it? Which will never end. So you can work generation after generation, can keep doing this. The rishis are so intelligent, how they had gone through this, analyzed it so well, and told us, don't waste your time on all these things. You will never get anywhere by this inquiry process. So, and because of that, they gave one name to this whole thing called Maya. Maya means that neither the body, nor the mind, nor the world, inquiring about this and trying to find some perfection in that. In the Bhagavad Gita Bhashyam, Acharya Swamiji says this question. You say you know your body. He's saying this. He's putting a challenge there to everybody. He says, you say you know about your body. How much do you know about your body? It's a very good question, isn't it? For example, all I know about this body is, when I'm hungry, I need food. That's all what I know about this body. Or if I have to go to toilet or anything, I know about it. Otherwise, what goes on inside? What do I know? How much do I know what is going on inside? They say, if they take a... I have not seen my kidney. Okay, you can take a photograph and show it to me. This is a photo I am seeing. But I have not seen my kidney. I may never see my kidney. I may never see my heart. I may never see my liver. I may not. Unless you take it out and show it to me. Oh, this is your kidney. Okay. You are telling me that this is my kidney. But I didn't know that it was my kidney. Is it not? It's not important. So Acharya Swami says in the Bhagavad Gita that you say you know about your body. You don't even know 1% of yourself, he said. Of your body. Not even know 1% of your body. Why? Because what we think we know, actually we don't know. Knowing means you should have a complete experience of the thing. If liver gives me any trouble, I won't know which one is giving me trouble. I'll go to the doctor, he will start his process. Scan after scan after scan. Blood test after blood test after blood test. And then he will tell me something, this is your problem. It may or may not work, even that's not guaranteed. Some people, they will try all that and then they will tell you to go home. We have done everything what we can, they'll tell you one day. And this way we are going on. This body is a difficult thing to understand actually. That we don't think like that. We think, oh, NHS has got all the answer for the problem. That's how we think. If I put 4 billion for the GPs to work with, all the problems are solved with that. Nothing is solved. It's all illusion. If that's why it's called Brahman. Brahman means this, Maya. So, only thing we have to know is this. A perfect knowledge of this body, mind or the world is not possible. But but the moment you think that you know about it, moment you start thinking like that, which is a false thing, your nature changes. Your nature changes. Because Maya does these things to us. You think that you have understood about the body something and you have treated it, you got cured. But have you noticed this? After the treatment, after some time, the problem comes back or something else happens. And then you start scratching. Oh, I went to the GP. GP told me to buy all these medicines. I tried. GP says, all right, we will try something else now. If he knew very well what he was telling me was truth, if I knew what was wrong with my body, it should have been cured, isn't it? But he didn't get cured. I'm going back again next week to them. And he's telling me, oh, that didn't work. Let's try this one. This is common. Every time it's happening. So this is the nature of Maya. Maya will never let you understand your own body. Maya will never let you understand your mind. Neither this world. And just like we play with the children, different times we hide and seek with the children. And children enjoy that, isn't it? 2-3 years old children. If you play hide and seek with them, they love it. Maya plays exactly the same game with us. She is playing this game, isn't it? And she is doing this through the science. That's what she is doing. Through science, she is playing this game with us. They have found out one thing. They will decide something and they found we have got the answer for all the problems now. One Einstein comes, Einstein goes. Another Einstein comes with another theory. And then he goes, another one comes. In this way, theory keeps changing all the time. So, there's a so many interesting things of this, how Maya plays with us in Ramayana also. There is a game Ravana and Shani, planet playing together. Ravana is trying to kill Saturn, because Saturn was a planet was giving him trouble. So Saturn was changing its position every time. Ravana could not get it. And the game went on for a long time. Ravana got very frustrated at the end. Similarly with Maya, Maya will keep playing this game with us. And you can notice also, for the sake of solutions, whatever we have developed in this world, it all become a problem later. Is it not? So many things. You take for example, right? They invented this nuclear bomb, isn't it? They thought, whoever has found out, and if you read about that in inventing the nuclear bomb at that time, there was a discussion about that in the YouTube. You can see that what they said. They found out the bomb, and the person who found out the bomb, he put his head into his own hand into the head and said, "What have I done?" What he found out has become a problem today, is it not? Everybody is fearful of each other because of the bomb. And somebody is saying, we can have the bomb, you can't have it. I can have it, but you can't have it. This is what the basic principle now. These are the people who are trying to tell the world the logic. What's their logic? It's difficult to understand, is it not? So it has become a problem. They don't know how to bring it under control. And in the most advanced nations, the discussion is going on how to bring this bomb under control. So they invented this with one intention, thinking that that will solve the problem, that they brought the world war to an end. That was the idea behind it. They succeed. They think that bomb actually decided the Second World War. Actually, bomb didn't decide the Second World War. Krishna decided that, try my Maya once more. Try with the Maya, see what happens. So, knowing well what Maya is the first thing which is important. That that is why this body itself is the biggest problem, is it not? In order to protect the body, you're going to work. In order to protect the body, we have the defense forces. What for? To protect this body, isn't it? What for this defense otherwise? We say protect this country. Protect the country means what? Protect my body at the end. So, billions and billions are poured into this for protecting this body. And this body is causing all the anxiety in life. Going to doctor, going to work. And unless you keep a watch on the body all the time, it can trip anytime. While eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and all these things, isn't it? So practically you can say, all of us are living in this world for the sake of this body. In reality it is like this, is it not? Spiritual life and all we say for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, we have something we talk about. But by and large, our whole existence here is for maintaining this body, isn't it? So that is why he is saying here, Deham mano matram imam grihitva mamaham ity andhadiyo manushyaha. This body has completely put us in a very awkward state. Deham mano matram imam grihitva. And where is the body? It is in the mind. Where is it? It is in the mind. This is my body. You know, breaking away from the body is not an easy thing. It is the most difficult thing, isn't it? Why? Because it is so deeply embedded inside this body. So, he is saying here, Esho mamahamite andhadiya manushyaha. It's a very amazing statement it is. Deham mano matram imam grihitva mamahamite andhadiyo manushyaha. How much this body and the mind together is maintaining this whole world like this. I'm thinking I'm this body. Where is that thought I'm this body? It's in my mind. Atma is not saying that this is my body. Mind is telling me this is my body. Atma is not telling me this is my body. Atma is completely independent. That is why when you understand the soul, you can immediately see that Atma has no connection with the body whatsoever. We are connected with through the mind. And the mind is telling us that I am this body. And then from that, mamahamidi andhadiyo manushyaha. Due to that, all the avidya has come from that. And the necessity to look after the body, for which you have to go to work or to the doctor, and acquire wealth in this world. And we want to make sure that we have to protect ourselves, not only on an individual level, family level, then in the national level, and all that. And then we are making alliances from one country to another country, because together we can make it. Then we have got NATO, these, that, all other kinds of things. So many things we have built. Ajnanam, look at the avidya behind it. How deep that avidya is inside us. And we think they are all the best example, role models for us. These are the people, role model for us. Rishis are telling us, come out of this avidya first. Why? You have first problem, the beginning of all the problem is, Deham mano matram imam grihitva mama ahamit andhadiyo manushyaham eshoham anyoham idi brahman brahmena durandabhare tamasi brahmandi. As long as this misunderstanding with the body is so strong, you've got to suffer. There is no escape route from this. This is the conclusion of the Shastram. Shastram is telling, as long as you have this misunderstanding with this body, durandavare tamasi brahmandi, you will keep on moving from one body to another, one planet to another, one species to another. Transmigration from one body to another is unavoidable. There is no solution to this. Duyandavare tamasi brahmandi. Eshoham anyoham idi brahmena. This brahmam, moving from one body to another will continue. So, and then he said that, after that he said that you will, durandavaram tamasi brahmandi, means that you get lost in a sea of darkness and from where you have no escape route. Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying this to us. That Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying this to us. He is saying all this thing to us. That he says that not only that your body is going to give you trouble, all the people around you also will give you trouble. Which means family, friends, society, all of them. So, what will I do? Bhikshu's realizations. You see how Bhikshu gave up the connection with the mind. How did he give up the connection? That is what it is saying here. Then,
janastu hedu sukadukhayos chelkimalmanas chatraha bhaumayos thal jikhvam kujil samdashadi swadadbi tadvedanayam kutamaya kapyed. Janastu hedu sukadukhayos chel.
Then, I was thinking initially, Bhikshu says, that if the people are responsible for my misery, am I suffering because of others? And if it is like that, if others are responsible, what can I do about it? First of all, I can't if others are coming and giving me trouble. Some people are saying the government is responsible for that. That, and should I wait till a perfect government comes? Will that ever happen, first of all? Then, is there any time in the history you will find a perfect government? Never. It is not possible. It is not possible. Why here, even in the Indra's planet, heavenly planets, there is no perfect government? Even among the demigods, it's not there. Even if you go to Vaikuntham, Krishna will tell you, there is Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu is here. So, don't expect perfection there either, when you go there. I have sent them from here, who? Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. They went from here. If you had problem with them in the world, they have also come from Vaikuntham, isn't it? They came from Vaikuntham, isn't it? Can you change all these things? Can you make anywhere perfect? Even Vaikuntham you can't make perfect. Although we will say, when we talk generally about Vaikuntham, we will say, oh, if you go to Vaikuntham, there is no anxiety, everything is perfect. If it was like that, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu came from there. So could you say that it is perfect? And when Tarakasura goes there, even why Tarakasura? Our Vrikasura went there, didn't he? Chasing Lord Shiva. He went to Vaikuntham. So would you say Vaikuntham is safe? If it was safe, how did Vrikasura go? What else? Hiranyakashipu went there, did he not? Looking for Vishnu. He went to Vaikuntham. Vishnu says, I ran away from there. I was hiding in his heart. You can understand from this that whenever you refer to any place and time and all kinds of things like that, that is not what Shastram is pointing out to us. Shastram is saying to us that there is only one place where everything is safe. That is the self. That is where you are actually your ideal proper identity. But if you are thinking, I go to another place, everything will be safe there, it won't be safe there. Hiranyakashipu went to Vaikuntham, Vrikasura went to Vaikuntham, there's many others who have gone to Vaikuntham. You see, and they come back also. The Brahmana's children, you remember, in the 10th canto, Sandana Gopalam story. 10 children, they went to Vaikuntham, Krishna and Arjuna went and brought them back here and gave it back to Brahmana. Brahmana, you can have them now. So why you bring them back if the Vaikuntham was so fantastic? Why did they come back? You have to ask. Is that a logical question? We all say we are all ready to go back home, back to Godhead. He said, when you get to back Godhead also, you will start thinking, is everything safe there in Godhead? Or is it much different than here, what it is? So then, in our imagination, we are building up something there. It is like this, it's all gopis, Krishna, everywhere cows, plenty of milk, plenty of cauliflower pakoras and plenty of all other things. In your imagination you are building up all these kind of things. But is that the truth? Nowhere in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam anything spoken about it like that. But the difficulty is this, that people when they imagine about things, about Golokam, about Vaikuntham and all that, without understanding, here like the Bhikshu, that is why Krishna is saying, if you want to realize the truth, realize it now, here, not after death. After death is a postdated check. You don't know what is going to happen after death. Nobody can tell you, I've been there, I've seen it, it is like this, and come back and tell you here. Once you're gone, you're gone. Nobody has come back and told you, I've been there, I've seen it, it is like this. All you are depending on the Shastram, what Shastram is saying, or those who are saying here. That is why Krishna is saying here, right now, here, in this body, if you realize the truth, you can escape from here. And that is the only authoritative statement you can accept. easily from that. Everything else is don't know. You don't know. They are saying like this, but wow. Okay, for your comfort reasons, you can accept it. If you feel comfortable with that concept, that's fine. So, that's why Krishna is saying here. Then, so if the world is like this, you can't do anything about it. You can't change it. So, sometimes we say the children are not listening in the family. Family, children are not listening. No peace at all. They are not listening to anything what we say. What can I do? I have prayed a lot to Krishna to change his way of thinking, but it is not changing. Tried everything, it's not working. Everything is not working. You go to Krishna and tell him that this is my problem. Day after day, my children are not listening and they are creating lots of problems. They have their own ideas. And what should I do? The only reply Krishna will give it to you, look, my children all are like that. My children also create a lot of problem for me. That's all he can tell you. He's not going to tell you anything else. He said, so feel pity for me. My prarabdham is bigger than your prarabdham. You got only one wife, two, three children. Look at me. 16,108 wives and 10 children from each of them. Day after day, some day, every day in Dwaraka, there was birth was going on, death was going on constantly, all the time. But important point is that Krishna is saying, look at my prarabdham, he told Narada Maharshi. Look at my prarabdham, he says, Trilogi Grahasthaya Vishnor Namaste. He says, Trilogi Grahastha, such a household life has never happened before. So, when they said to Krishna this thing, Krishna says, have you not read my Bhagavad Gita? Krishna says, What did I say in the Bhagavad Gita? He says that what is that famous verses in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Putradhara Grihadishu Nityanja Samachitattvam Asakti Anabhishvanga. Krishna's solution to the problem. When you told him about the problem in the family, Krishna's answer in the Bhagavad Gita. Asakti Anabhishvanga Putradhara Grihadishu Nityanja Samachitattvam Ishta Anishtobhavatishu. That is the solution, Krishna says. That Asakti Anabhishvanga, don't get attached to the family. That was the answer, Krishna. Anabhishvanga. What else? Putradhara Grihadishu, to the wife and children and to the home. Three things. Wife, children and the home. Don't get attached to it too much. Then instead, Nityanja Samachitattvam. Keep your mind free from all those things. Ishtam anishtoba bhaktishu. Happiness or distress comes through them, be equally situated. This was Krishna's answer to this problem. So, dharmam you can execute. What has to be done through them? Dharmam. But asakti, attachment should not be there. And let that go in its own way. And then the people will say to you, that you can say like that, but he said to that person who complained to Krishna, he says that you can tell me all these things in your Bhagavad Gita, but you come and live here and see how we are living here. You say to this to Krishna. Krishna says, I have tried that also. I came and lived with you all lot once, and my own sons didn't listen to me. And finally, what did I have to do? I had to finish them all before I left this place. Because they became such a nuisance. Father himself decided that all these so-called children and grandchildren, they are nothing but a headache. So he himself had to destroy them, isn't it? You know, in the end of, in the beginning of 11th canto, that's the whole topic. And no one listened to me. And he said, Samba, what did he do? He has put me into so much trouble. Samba goes, you know that I never liked Duryodhana. I mean, notice one thing with Krishna. Krishna will never use the word Duryodhana. Never. Krishna is like that. With Duryodhana, Krishna calls him as Suyodhana. That's the word. That is his actual name is Suyodhana. Duryodhana is a name given by others later. Actual name is Suyodhana. Krishna will never address Duryodhana as Duryodhana. He will always address him as Suyodhana. Everybody else will call him as Duryodhana. But Krishna will call him only as Suyodhana. So, I was never getting along very well with Suyodhana. And this Samba, goes and wants to marry his daughter, knowing very well that. So, therefore, I had to make a decision. Asaktihi. I don't want to get attached to Sambha because of that. So, and therefore the answer is that there are so many people in this world. So, to stay in this world with an equal mind to everybody, not to feel love or hate towards anyone. If you say that, if you like say like that, will that be a solution? If it is not the solution, then you have to tell me what the solution is. That is the answer for that. So, practically what it is, after saying this, Krishna is saying to us, the ball is in your court now. You can decide what you want to do. First of all, understand the world, the mind and the body, like the way Krishna has explained it, and then make this decision that there is not a lot you can do here. You can't change the world. You can't fix this body. You can't fix the mind. You can't do anything about it. This is our real situation here. Once it is like this, the wisest thing to do is deal with everybody on an equal level and leave this world. That is the ideal solution to this problem. So, and if you are not convinced, if you are not willing to accept this answer, then you tell me what the answer is, if there is any other solution. World, you can never fix it. You know that very well. All the leaders are perplexed, aren't they? They try to, you see, think all they are very intelligent people. They go and meddle with one country, and 100 different problems comes from that. And they don't know what to do about it. And then they fight each other. This is what the world management is, isn't it? The whole management in the world is like this. They involve in one country, that country they couldn't sort it out. They go and involve in another country. Could they sort that out? No. Then they go in another one. Like this, a few countries they have meddled with it. And then finally they found that they couldn't do anything about it. There is no solution to any of these problems. So, therefore Krishna is saying that I have told you what it is. Try to understand the world it is, the way it is. You can't do anything here about it. The body cannot, nothing can be done. The mind also cannot be done. And if you are not willing to accept my order, the ball is in your court. You can do what you like. That is Krishna's answer. So, so the answer is that Krishna says, I don't know what the answer is. Shastram also cannot tell you what the answer is for this problem. Shastram also cannot. Because Krishna has not spoken a solution to this problem anywhere in the Shastram. Anywhere in the Shastram. Because Krishna has not, he himself says this in the Bhagavad Gita, Anityam Asukham Lokam. That is the answer from Krishna. Anityam, it is temporary. Asukham, full of misery. The world is like that. That is the answer. Either we accept it or we reject it. It's up to us. So sometimes it can happen like this, that we expect some perfection from the Shastram. That's why we study Shastram. That Shastram has an answer for all the problems. But Shastram, the way Shastram tells you to find the solution, is not the way you want it. That's where the problem. Problem is, we want a solution to get the world in the right order. The body in the right condition. The mind in the right condition. Shastram says we have no answer for all those problems. Shastram is telling us there's only one thing. Understand what the world is, what the mind is, what the body is, and then come to see the truth and get out of these situations. Sometimes family crisis, they go together, parents, children, all, to see some sannyasi or swamiji or somebody like that. Father goes and says all the problems in the family. After father has gone away, the son goes to see the same swamiji, and the son says to swamiji, don't trust anything what the father has told you. This happens very often. Both are thinking that swamiji has an answer for the problem in the family. Parents have problem with the children, isn't it? Children, say for example, son or daughter decided to marry somebody. The parents didn't approve it. They are sticking to their guns and saying that. So the parents go to Swamiji to court consultation. Swamiji heard everything, the whole story. Swamiji goes away. Then the son comes and says, don't trust everything what the parents have told you. All this is going on in this world. This is how we are solving our problems. So anyway, so then mother comes. Father and mother, they have two different versions of the same problem. Father has one version and mother has another version. So if you take this world too seriously, you will get caught up in this. It is like a magic what Maya is doing with everybody, isn't it? And if you start taking all this very seriously and putting your faith in all these things, you will never have any peace inside. So, sometimes when you meet up different people and what they tell you about life, and if you take all that very seriously, then in every week you will have to go to a mental hospital. The kind of things people will tell you and the kind of things what goes on here. You have gone to help somebody and they tell you about their problems. And story keeps changing every day. And in this way, if you start looking at it, that that it is a very difficult thing. Maya, how she plays with all the kind of things in this world, with people, with their mood and with their problems, and you are trying to solve these problems in your own way. So sometimes you can see some in people's life also. They got married, somehow or the other the marriage didn't work. They got married second time and the first wife is causing problem and the second wife is they could ends up in the court. It cases goes on like this. So even after marrying few times, was there any peace inside? There is no peace still. It goes on. The case still goes on. So much confusion and the complexity of that. So what the rishis have done, now this is our life we are talking about. What the rishis have done, they said, make your life as simple as possible. Simplify it. That is the solution to this problem. And you can notice this, when you are suffering like this in this world, with all these kind of problems, eventually you will start thinking, is there something wrong here with the world? That thought will automatically come. And that is when you will go back again to the rishis, what they have spoken to us. Because rishis know very well. The rishis, this is an important thing. Rishis know very well, nobody can be happy in this world together with wife, children, family, everything. It is not possible. It is simply not possible. And therefore, what did they say to us? They told us, if you have to get married once. And if it has failed, then give up this idea itself, once for all. Give up the idea. Because some people, they have tried 5 times, 6 times and still they are saying it's not working. It's not working. So, why is it like that? So, you will never find that there will be a happiness at the end. It is some misunderstanding. Family life is the most difficult thing in this world. Is it not? To keep all these things together going 30, 40 years in life and then eventually to come out of it. It's not going to happen. And if you hit the end in a peaceful state, you should consider, but how much compromise you have to make in the middle of all these things. So after so many marriages, you will realize one day, the problem is not with the wife, it is with me. But it will take a while for them to realize this. That's the problem. That then, so that in such a situation, should not happen. That you should realize this earlier, not to happen, therefore they have created this system called divorce. You see that? Divorce has been allowed. Why? It is a wrong thing from the Shastra point of view. Why? Because if you allow that, you will never learn this point what Rishis are telling us. Rishis are telling us that first thing we have to accept is this, that as a family it is never possible to be happy together. It is not possible, 100% in perfection. There will be a number of problems. To some extent, if you are cultured and if you have got tolerance each other, to some extent you can keep it together and go through the life. That is one thing. If you are fortunate enough, if you both are tolerant each other, and if you have some culture within you. But if you don't have it, and you got married, if it didn't work, and then what's the next thing you will do? This thing called divorce. That means you have not learned this lesson what the Rishis have told us. Rishis are telling us that you realize this first thing in life and go into married life, and if you can live like that, fair enough, that you get through this problem. If not, don't do this trial and error method again and again, because it will take a long time eventually when you will decide yourself that it is problem is with yourself. Which means what? That you are looking for perfection somewhere where there is no perfection. There is no perfection in the family life. You are looking for perfection there. That itself is the biggest mistake. Why? Why there is no perfection in the family life? As Krishna says before, Bhikshu said here, world is not perfect, body is not perfect, mind is not perfect. When you are expecting these three things, mind, body and the world is not perfect, then you are expecting other bodies and other mind to be perfect. You can see this. Husband is expecting the wife should listen to me and do everything what I am saying to her. She is also expecting the same thing. She is saying to me that I should do everything what she wants. According to her liking, everything should be performed, done in life. And there two are two different ways. So what will you do? So from there itself you can understand that it is not possible that it will work together like this. But then if you are a little bit of culture inside and some understanding of these things, you will somehow tolerate and ignore things and get through life. That's all you can do here. You can't do anything else than that. So it is an important thing when they're saying here that they know very well that Rishis told us why they didn't allow this divorce. They wanted to learn this principle first, that it is not possible. By changing partner or by changing the wife or husband, things are going to be different. You're meant to go through that, you're meant to go through that, it will happen in that way. So they know very well this will never become successful, because there are no two people who have the same nature in this world, isn't it? There's no two persons who have the same identical nature. Both have different vasanas, different samskaram inside. Rishis know this so well. Therefore, this thing called husband, wife and all, it's all in the poetry. It's all in the poetry only, not in practical life. Practical life is a battle from beginning to end. If you can survive through that battle without getting hurt, well and good. That's all it is. Let us not fool ourselves by thinking that it's all amazing, family life and everything was fantastic. You know very well it is not fantastic. So, like in the stories, they will say the king married and the queen, they were so nice together, each other. And that's all right in the drama and in the movie and in the cinema and everything. But in the practical world, it is not possible. It is not possible. And the Rishis know this very well. You have to come to this from the Rishis' point of view. Rishis are telling us that because of the nature, Maya has taken control of these three things, the world, the body and the mind, and you are trying to perfect it, Maya won't allow you to perfect it. And because it is like that, your so-called marriage is a second thing after your body, isn't it? Body, mind is the first thing. Even that is not perfect. And then you are trying to make something else perfect. Wife and children and grandchildren and all that. And you are trying to make the whole... And you are thinking that if my family, my children, my grandchildren, if we are all together happy, and if they are perfect, that is a utopian theory. It is not going to happen. Simply not going to happen. And therefore, the rishis are telling us that come back to this very basic understanding that the life in this world itself is not perfect. And that is the reason at the old age, we all become on our own. You all become our own. There will be nobody. You have had your family life. You had your children, grandchildren. They will all go their way. And you are on your own at the end. Though, whether you are a householder, whether you are a brahmachari, whether you are a sannyasi, no matter what you are, at the end you are on your own. Isn't it? We are talking about people who have some philosophical understanding of life. Ordinary people are not bothered. For him, NHS is there, Watford General Hospital is there, and then he gets into one box, goes in, and then he comes through another box outside again. That is a different thing altogether. We are talking about people who have analyzed this life properly, like the way the rishis have seen the life, and living a life in this world based on their understanding. So one who knows this, he is alone. That means one who has known this truth, he knows he is alone in this world. And for one who has realized this truth, for him, he alone exists. He alone exists. Others don't exist for him. For reasons. So, this connecting oneself with another person, one or the other, and all the time in that situation trying to live in this world, will create a psychic conflict. It will create a psychic conflict. When the other person is not happy, you are unhappy. When the other person is happy, you are happy. It will keep on oscillating like this, the mind. And therefore, you will never have any steadiness inside the heart. And as long as you are thinking, that person should behave properly with me, he should live properly, and everything he should do the way I want him to do, and he should act in a way the way I like it. And if you impose all these things on the other person, it is not going to happen. It's not going to happen because that is the basic truth, that you can't change anything in this world. Sometimes, temporarily you may be able to do something, temporarily, but sooner or later it will change. Just like you can see, children, when they were very small, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, they will listen to you. You tell them when they are 30, 40 and all that, already his vasanas and his decision making will take priority. They will look at you and think, you old man, what do you know about this world? I know better. They will dictate to you. At that time, at least at that time, you should come to your senses. That all my conceptions were wrong. It was all a total illusion that I had in my head that my family will be all together and happy together. It is not going to happen. With this note, we will stop today. We will continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.